I found somebody on Facebook I can text chat about Iron Man.
Oh, I bet you're proud of yourself.
I feel happy.
Hey everyone, hang on a second. I have to check my hang on.
Oh jeez.
Hang on. Just hold on. All right.
Oh, see, no, I was good and put mine on mute, but if we want to do that, how are you doing in Fatal Furies?
This game is stupid. This is a dumb game.
Don't put money in it. That's the biggest thing.
This is a dumb game. I have 101,000 points in Fatal Furies. But
what?
This is a dumb game.
101,000 points?
Yes. But this is a dumb game. It's a bad... Ooh, I have a new cube. Ooh.
How do you have 101,000 points? I must be doing this thing terribly wrong.
I played a whole lot. Hang on. All right. I got my cube in. Hi. Welcome to WTF at TFW, so that game, it's really stupid, but it hits all the triggers that collectible card games and HeroClix used to hit. Like, every trigger. Like, oh, I got all these medals, I should go and cash them in for dudes. And then I get all a bunch of dudes, and I'm like, are there any rares in here? Stupid! But the artwork's really kind of cool. Hi, Aaron.
How do you have 101,000?
I spent a lot of day one in there.
That might have been my problem, is I didn't get a whole lot of that. And then I can't seem to get anybody else to join me on the whenever I uncover a dude.
That's the problem. Like, is Fatal, like, this event was actually really fun for the first 48 hours, especially when Firestar was out there giving cube recharges. So I stockpiled a ton of cube recharges. And then RC showed up, and I quickly caught on that I'm in no position to be taking on RC, so I should just sit back and just get in on other people's RCs. But then Chromia showed up, and I was like, I should just take a day off, because this isn't working.
Yeah, the first day I was doing all right, and then after that, it's just been like, okay, well, I'll 2-cube this one to get a good start on it, and maybe somebody will come in and help, and then I'll sit there and watch just the timer tick off, as I'm like, okay, I don't have... hardly any recharge cubes left, and I don't want to try and
how many allies
dump
do you
one.
Have?
40 something.
I only have 25.
but that's not
you know,
your,
really worked.
Your allies aren't that. I think that just goes out to the people that are.
Oh, okay. Because what also helped around. Is when RC was out. Every time I got a level 5 RC, I just put 1 cube in and then put it out there, and that RC would be dead within 5 minutes. So. I also want to say many thanks to the thread for... It's a hard thread to scroll through, but there's some good info in there. And I went in there and said, I'm a noob, and they basically told me, like, don't try to take on the bosses yourself because you're in no position to. And I was like, all right, that's good to know. That's saving me a lot of time.
That thread moves super fast. I tried to follow it for about 2 days and learn things like, oh, you're supposed to get everybody all the way up before you transcan the two cards together.
Yeah.
Whoops.
That helped. Because that means I actually didn't waste any level 3 transcans. Anyway.
Yeah, I did quite a few.
It's also a really dumb game. Anyway. Also joining us today is Omegas Prime, who reacted just the way I did upon seeing the news that they're doing more Gaia Memories.
Oh, God.
And they're Gashapon ones, which means they're going to be top quality.
Oh, jeez.
And they're doing like 24. Or whatever.
Is there a dripping in the background? Because that'd be my wallet bleeding right now.
Just makes me real happy that I decided to skip the rings and most of the switches. So I kind of have... I don't have this overwhelming tidal wave of I've bought too much silly knick-knack stuff. So I can just go for these knick-knacks. Because they're the original knick-knacks.
God. Jeez. They just had to be the exact style I wanted, too.
Yeah, and given the sheer number of them and the couple of double-ups and that, you know, these are the Gashapon ones, which have done the most clever sound tricks, I'm really curious what some of them are going to do.
I did notice a lot of them that have the normal memories are opposite color. Mm-hmm. So it's like the two Agitos are one gold, one silver, and all that.
And that's exactly what I'm waiting for. Mm-hmm. Like, make those things, you know, cool standalone things, but you put them both in, blow my mind. That's what I'm hoping for. But we're not here to talk about silly mobile games that want to eat your wallet or, you know, silly plastic sticks that make noise that want to eat your wallet. We're here to talk about Transformers, which all by itself wants to eat your wallet. And we're going to start off by talking a little bit about Transformers, the new live-action movie currently in development. We got a casting update that I thought was worth talking about, much like last week's sadder casting update, or I guess retrospect update. This will explain a little bit about the role of the actor in question. So if you don't want to know about that, you should probably skip ahead a chapter. But honestly, I will be surprised if this bit of info can wreck your experience of Transformers 4. But I'm just saying it now, because in 5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, we're going to say that the main human villain of Transformers 4 apparently is going to be played by Kelsey Grammer, which is a nice band-aid for the fact that I just found out that we lost The Rock. It's not the band-aid that makes me forget that, but it's a nice band-aid nonetheless. I haven't seen him in Boss, but I'm guessing the photo on the front page is from that role, because he's scowling and he looks pretty scary. So I'm all ready for this. I mean, I like Kelsey Grammer in stuff. I admit I thought he was the only part I remember aside from Human Potato Chips of X-Men 3. Aaron, how you feeling about Kelsey Grammer?
Cool.
Harold Attinger.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a very lawyery sounding name, and that's about it.
No subtlety, and I like it that way. Harold Attinger, played by Kelsey Grammer, and he's a bad guy. What's the last thing you've seen Kelsey Grammer in?
X-Men? Has it really been that?
It's been a while.
Been in anything else lately?
Apparently he's got a Golden Globe in Boss. He's also Sideshow Bob, before anyone jumps in.
Yeah.
We know. Omegas, how you feeling about the idea of Kelsey Grammer being this movie's Patrick Dempsey?
I had a nice Sideshow Bob quip lined up, but then you kind of had to take that thunder away from me.
The entire discussion thread and most of Twitter, they got there.
Oh yeah, I've seen Sideshow Bob. I've seen a lot of tossed salads and scrambled eggs on Twitter.
Also, a lot of people saying Sideshow Bob versus The Rock, which makes me suspect some people didn't quite catch the meaning of the last update we had, that The Rock isn't in the movie. We're not getting Sideshow Bob versus The Rock. That's the sad part.
Yeah, that would have been epic.
Nonetheless, though.
Nonetheless. I like him as an actor. He should be interesting as a villain. It's gonna be annoying if they do something cliche with him, like, oh, he's stuck drinking at a bar all day. See, I'm the one who makes the Cheers reference here.
They'll throw... I have a feeling
actually,
that
he wasn't in the bar all the time at Cheers. He was a part-time player.
He's an
until,
occasional.
Like, the last occasional. Season, and then he got a spinoff. He wasn't, like, Norm.
Do you know how long it took me to find out that Frasier was actually a spinoff from Cheers because I wasn't a Cheers viewer? That was real weird when I found that out.
You're also a child, so what's it matter?
Well, that too. But I saw some Cheers when I was a kid. It always came on right before I went to bed, and I never understood it. But I dug Frasier, and then I tried looking at the backlog, and I had really weird flashbacks, so I left it alone. Do you guys think that having a dude like Kelsey Grammer as a human antagonist will have a bit more impact than having Patrick Dempsey as a human antagonist?
I think so. Kelsey Grammer, I think, is going to bring more to it because he's had a width of acting. And I think he'd bring more gravitas.
My term for it is he's got more auto chops. Like automatic chops, like he can, even in a kind of crappy movie like X-Men 3, he can just, by doing his usual business and doing his job, at least make his role something that you don't look at and scowl at least in my opinion. I found little wrong with Beast in my vague recollection of how I've reacted to X-Men 3.
Well, that's very good casting, just because Kelsey Grammer is just such a educated man himself. He plays the intelligent role very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that in this villain, if that's the direction they go in. Though I am amused that we bring up his acting chops when we can't remember anything he's done since 2006.
Has it been that long since X-Men 3?
Yeah.
Honestly, actually, I thought X-Men 3 was 2004, so that's a smaller gap than I expected. Also, I went into X-Men 3 knowing what to expect, and I was, man, the human potato chip thing is what really just threw me out of that movie. You know what I mean? When people get nuked into like just flakes of human.
Yeah. I try not to remember X-Men 3.
Yeah.
Remember Cyclops in X-Men 3?
I remember a flying bridge in X-Men 3, and that's pretty much it.
Remember Charles Xavier in X-Men 3?
He was in it?
Yeah, briefly. You know, kind of like Cyclops was briefly in it.
Yeah. In the beginning with the weird unaged thing.
Poor Famke Janssen. Anyway, unless they name drop another person that I have like a severe acting draw to, I think that's pretty much going to do it for Transformers 4 human actor bullet points. Unless they go on to say that Kelsey Grammer's taking on a role that Lance Henriksen, you know, turned down, in which case I'm going to give up. I'm going to uncharacteristically say this is not going to be a good movie and just walk away. I don't actually want to know if that did happen. I don't want to know. Like, Marky Mark's already been, his performance is going to be impacted in my eyes knowing who could have been there. So I just got to turn around and walk away. Also, there was a, did you guys see the found footage video that went up?
Yeah. You're
never going to believe what, I was watching that and I was thinking that Transformers would be interesting if they just did the whole movie found footage style. Like, that was the big, the big visual change. Michael Bay found footage style. Shaky
no,
cams.
Found footage had its day, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, found footage is still having its day, just in, you know, inexpensive horror films.
Yeah. This is also just a total viral marketing grab that is totally, obviously, horribly viral marketing grab.
But yet,
it's like, yeah, we're gonna have such a time, woo! And it's like, okay, that you didn't, nobody actually records that.
But yet, when they just, you know, panned over and showed the big robot shaped hole, I kind of smirked because I was like, I kind of missed the the Transformers 1, like, you know, less tongue in cheek viral marketing that they were doing. Like, all the NES stuff was fun, but this kind of felt like, this is the wrong term, but it felt like a breath of fresh air to a degree.
I don't know that. I mean, if that was supposed to be viral marketing of any kind, that's the moment that kind of just ruined it for me. The big robot-shaped hole, like the coyote painted a tunnel on the building.
The best part of the robot-shaped hole is it was shaped like a standing robot.
Yes.
But do you think, so I didn't quite catch, do you think this is going to be related to the movie or related to the debut of the ride?
That's the ride, because it's Orlando, and the Orlando ride is opening in a week or two, I think.
Yeah, that also
the page that it clicks you to is the Orlando Universal Studios Facebook page.
Because when I saw the thing about the ride, it actually tempered my enthusiasm a bit, because I like the ARG is the wrong term, but the weird marketing that the ride's always had, it's been kind of fun. But I think the Transformers 4 should just be a whole lot of, just start throwing out some of that found footage. Instead of being on Mars, make it on Pluto or something like that. It's not even a planet, so you can do whatever you want with it.
I'm just stuck in my head trying to picture how impossible it would be to follow a fight in Transformers with found footage.
Yeah.
I'd have a lot of fun, because I don't get motion sick from movies, but I know lots of
other people do. Well, no, I mean, they had a hard enough time in the first Transmorphers movie and a little bit in the second movie.
Is a different masterpiece by a different man. Anyway, Fraser Crane, look forward to it. If you're going to name drop something related to Kelsey Grammer, honestly, I'm surprised that Sideshow Bob comes up more than Fraser Crane. But maybe I watched different TV. I like Sideshow Bob.
Well, see, Sideshow Bob's the villain, though. You know?
But really, wasn't Fraser Crane potentially the villain and we just never knew about it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he had a self-help, or a like, help show. That was the whole gimmick of Frasier.
I'm thinking more like an Ozymandias kind of villain. You know, greater good, but at what cost?
Okay, you know what? One of these days, I want to view the world the way you do, just for one day.
Ah, it's fun. But that's all of our Transformers talk. We're going to swing this around to some new picture picks. Omegas, what's your new picture pick?
Oh my god, there's a billion of them this week.
Yeah, there are, and I already bagsied one, so don't touch it.
I know. Jeez. You know, let's go with the Transformers Go drop.
Yeah, so that stuff came out.
Yeah, in very tiny, tiny images, but it's somewhat visible.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally get to see a little bit of the Ninja Teams between promotional images and actual toy photos.
Very Japanese names once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm definitely agreeing with the Brave vibe I've got going on here.
Well, that little picture of the Autobot combiner on the bottom left of the not the catalog picture, but the other one with the artwork. Right. On the bottom left, see the toys. That little shot with the blue on the top, yellow in the middle, red on bottom.
Mm.
From the waist up, looks exactly like a little photo of God Max from X-Kaiser. So it's to me, it's super overt at this point.
This is what happens when you let Takara design all on their own.
I don't mind.
Oh, no.
Add
it's
more,
been a while.
Add more jagged spikes.
Oh. It's been more a while since we've
never passed safety inspection.
It's been a while since we had this much just overt Brave. So, you know, it might just be these like six toys, but whatever. It'll be a good break.
I mean, we're getting a spiritual successor to Captain Shark. That's a ninja shark.
I would think of that more as perhaps a spiritual successor to Gel Shark from Car Roboto. Captain Shark. I mean, unless there's a huge Gatling gun I'm missing.
He seems to have some big weapon on the underside.
I don't know. Those look like turbines. It makes me think of Gel Shark and the one from Beast Wars 2.
That guy.
Yeah, I can't remember which one he was. But you know what I mean.
I do like how we get one team of vehicles, one team of beasts.
Yeah. And, you know, ninjas and just, like, samurai. Like, it's as Japanese as you can get.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it works for me. And we got all the Predacon repaints, too.
Yeah, that is clearing up to me some of the names. Every name that has Dora at the end, I mean, like, Dragon is Dora gone. So it sounds like all the Predacons are at least in this Go thing, are just getting, like, there's something Dora. So it's like something Dra, because they're dragons.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving them so far.
Yeah.
Like, there's part of me that, like, really wants to pick up all of these. Again, we're hitting my little dragon obsession again. Where they're all just so contrasting to the American releases.
But a couple seem to perhaps have alternate head sculpts in place.
I noticed that.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Laserbacks was the one we got a good shot of the new head.
Yeah.
It's part of me that really... God, I really don't want to get into this with the dragons, but I really want that new one to be, like, the leader between Laserback and Vertebrake. Like, it's just, like, just two hellhounds he keeps on leash.
With that concept, I'm surprised to say I'm open to the concept of having three copies of the Laserback mold.
I know.
Because, I mean, I don't hate that toy, but it's not a toy I would ever think that I would want to buy a whole bunch of times. But they're picking some cool colors for it.
Oh, yeah. Grimwings looks gorgeous.
Yes. It's, I mean, the easy comparison to draw is Transmetal 2 Megatron, which is the dark red, and his being a dragon.
Well, it's an Urza Griff. That's close.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this stuff come out, even though I will say the packaging, if it's anything like the Beast Hunter Transformers Go packaging, this is some gaudy packaging. Just bright, right, just jumping on your face, grabbing your eyes kind of stuff. I'm sure it looks great on a shelf, though.
It's what you gotta do in the Land of the Rising Sun.
Aaron, how are you feeling about the Go reveals?
Interesting, for sure. I don't know, what I've been trying to flip through and find has been small pictures. I'd much rather have, like, people in hand, because then you find out what it really looks like, not what Photoshop looks like.
Well, this stuff's all dropping between, what, June, July, August?
Yeah.
Most of what we've seen, so I'm looking forward to the in-hand reports, because, as I said before, this all looks really cool, but if it's not built well, the whole thing's not going to work. So yeah. I'm hoping that the engineering is the one thing I'm worried about is the engineering feeling very early 2000s, like super busy and just a billion moving parts.
Yeah, there I have liked a decent amount of the return to simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it doesn't have to have 8 panels that come off and pop back in place and almost the same, does it need to?
And I'm way more interested in a, like, modern, you know, the return to simplicity, complex and in design style that applied to guys who are going to combine the way these guys do could be really interesting. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a favorite toy or set of toys, but the core of Fall of Cybertron Bruticus was very interesting in that regard. And with these guys not having to be constrained by the economy or price points, like, I mean, there are separate price points almost between every single member. It could be like some of that, but not as hamstrung by having to stuff itself into the deluxe budget. So I'm excited. And also, yeah, it tweaks the Brave muscle pretty well. But Aaron, continuing to talk to you, what's your new picture pick?
I can't decide between the soapbox one and the I can't wait for this toy one.
Skip the soap. I think I know what you're talking about. I don't even want to. Are you talking about something with the word delay in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even. No. Let's just.
Okay.
No point.
That hey, that's delayed.
That's a place.
Wow.
That's a place some people went. I chose not to. I feel bad for the people who are stuck there, and whatever happened, I hope it resolves itself, but I got nothing constructive to add to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, found something interesting, the Clue Train Manifesto due to a Lego thing. If that sort of thing interests you, that's a whole bunch of stuff that they could have fixed, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, Clue
so
Train.
The actual interesting thing is we've gotten 2 or 3 different photos completely teasing the crap out of how big Metroplex is going to be.
So Yuki's having a real fun time. I feel like he's been following Yamaguchi and deciding to take after Yamaguchi's Twitter style. So
just teasing the crap out of all of it.
How long has he had this Metroplex?
My favorite troll.
I don't know. It's
this going on a month now?
Four days ago.
I mean, the first time it showed up, like, standing behind Fort Max. Like,
yeah, 13 days ago. But that was one that you couldn't quite tell scale because he's got, you know, you're not dealing with something that's directly beside it. I mean, you can see that there's a hand on Fort Max's shoulder, but you don't know what is he standing on something? What's going on? I don't know. But then he had the next one of the teasers was all of the data disks lined up with what looks like his leg. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 data disks and wheels, and his wheels are about the same size as the data disks. And then it was like, oh, look, baby Metroplex sits in Papa Metroplex's lap. And then I went in and I got my Metroplex and flipped it out like that and just went, ha, ha, ha.
The data disk thing already. goes a long way, because I mean, a lot of us have those now. You just pull one out, look at that, imagine it's a wheel on an axle.
Yeah. And then it was the one that got me the most was Metro, the G1 Metroplex, standing in front of this new upcoming shin? Metroplex, and it's yeah, it comes up to his shin, at which point I'm like, where am I even going to put, I have a room for Transformers. I don't know if there's enough space if I cleaned it out.
Well, hopefully this Metroplex will be posable enough that you could just have him sit down.
Yeah, well, my thought is I have a corner that can become like a battlescape type of thing, so put him in like city or base mode, and then have all of the Cyberverse size stuff I have interacting.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, wow.
I've also seen the sentiment on Twitter, and I agree with it. Do you feel like, especially the photo, like between the one where he's looming behind Fort Max and the one where he's like that Metroplex coming up to his knee thing, he's also reaching down and kind of just reaching for this tiny Metroplex. You kind of get this like, creep vibe from Yuki's Metroplex?
A little bit. Hey, buddy.
Hey, little boy.
He's a big fan of sneaking up from behind. That's all I'm saying.
You want some Energon?
Oh, dear. I'm excited. I mean, this is due out, what, August, September, stateside?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's not too far away. I've seen some discussion about the color. What do you think about the kind of dirty gray?
Dirty gray, yeah. I think I'd rather it be crisp white, but at the same time, I know what happens to crisp white.
And also, he's from Fall of Cybertron, technically. Or at least that design aesthetic, and I think that the dirty gray kinda works for that.
Yeah.
Although seeing a crisp white one would be interesting. Like,
yeah. And I mean, even in the IDW, I don't think he's ever been crisp white, because he's always, like just waking up from whatever, and you're never crisp and ready to go when you just woke up.
Well, he's enormous, and he's constantly like either underground or wedged into something. So I'm kind of okay with the dirty gray they're going for. I wouldn't be opposed to white by any means.
There's some kind of rumor about a San Diego version.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm curious if that might be a little bit more toy accurate.
Yeah, we've got this quote unquote convention exclusive version, the U.S. retail one, and whatever the Takara Generations one is going to be. Plus that shot that we saw of one with chromed thighs. So, what Yuki needs to do now is just start, like, misleading us as to which one is which. Put the Takara one in a box that has SDCC written on the front.
And that, or just put all three of them up and not have any say of what order is for. Or just have, like, the boxes behind them in the wrong order, and then list a different order in the text.
Yes, and then just, like, switch some of their pieces around, too. All of the safety snap-off pieces.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I think that would be in line with Yuki's Twitter habits. I love Yuki's Twitter habits, by the way. That guy gets it. Mm-hmm. And it's worth mentioning, too, we got from his Twitter, a picture of a clear picture of the robot mode of the Scamper that comes with this toy.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty cool for a little dude.
Really good, yeah.
And I'm surprised how, like, he looks like he stands, like, shoulder to shoulder with G1 Scamper. That's pretty cool.
Which throws their relative scale way out, too.
How much do you want to bet that the red plastic of the head on the new Scamper means that he's showing it, but with the alternate head that we may never see? That's probably not how
it's said.
Apparently that head is actually based on the Florodiri Scamper model. Florodiri? Like the show model that they had for Scamper.
Yeah.
Because we're so familiar with that model.
Yeah, you know, all the times he showed up, the classic antics that we had with Metroplex and Scamper. So I've seen some, you know, some people who I'm actually very happy. Some people are looking at this and kind of trying to keep their expectations in check. I'm sort of doing the same, but these are very good teasers, and I think that I am totally cool with getting this toy. And I'm like, this toy is actually making me feel better about holding off on reissue Fort Max for now, because there's already the modern big Transformer. And as I said a couple podcasts ago, my own tastes now lean more towards modern engineering over the old G1 toys. No disrespect meant to them. So this is very up my alley. How about you guys? Who's going to get all three? That's my question for you.
Oh, God.
No, I'm a dog with butt cancer. I'm going to be happy if I get one.
Yeah. Who's dreaming of having all three should be the real question.
Whenever Aaron gets his, I need a photo of all of his Viacons swarming it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, Aaron's good. In the position to do a pretty good...
Yeah. Granted, I managed to shed 4 or 5 Viacons as I was selling stuff off. I was tossing it in.
So you've only got a couple dozen left.
Yeah, you shed 4 or 5. Is that kind of like how I shed skin cells when I walk around?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I think it's the box that they're all in. I think they're reproducing. Don't look at the don't look at the box, because then they'll know that we're talking about.
All I'm going to say
on with the podcast.
All I'm going to say is they can 3D print a Strand Beast that is printed assembled. How long until the Legion Viacon can just start to be printed, so they can just start reproducing themselves with a 3D printer? No, I'm going to give them the idea. I'm going to give them the idea. Bring it on. This is how Skynet takes over. I just want to get all three Metroplexes so I can put them into the Sun Vulcan pose.
Oh, jeez.
Then I'll be, my 2013 will be complete. That'll be it. I'll be like, all right, hibernating until 2014. See you guys later. My own new picture pick is going to go to the third party end of things. And man, it's hard to choose, but I'm going to stick with the one I wanted to talk about first because it's fresher in my mind. Right after, in not only a video, but all over Twitter, I was talking about how much of a bummer it is that Toy World have gone radio silent. Bam! They go un-radio silent. So they are clearly just more of a fans project than a mastermind. They just will show up with the gray protos. They showed off 3 new toys, one for each of their current lines. For their Headmaster line, they have a Brainstorm. For their just TW line, which consists entirely of Hegemon, they have the long discussed and long speculated as to whether it even exists IDW Prime, Optimus Prime, and thank goodness they showed the next Throttlebot from the TWT line, who is apparently based on Chase. I don't know my Throttlebots that well, so when I found out that this guy will probably be bright red, I got really excited, because I want to say right up front, the Throttlebot is the cream of the crop of these three. That robot mode looks gorgeous. The way that he is not transforming like Grindrod in Aurora is gorgeous. There's a lot of good happening in that Throttlebot, and the Throttlebot line Toy World is doing is their bread and butter. Like, that is the best stuff I've seen from them, and I mean that as a compliment. And the other two, I don't think they look bad or anything. I think they look pretty cool, but I think that they look a whole lot like follow-ups to their predecessors. The Brainstorm looks a lot like he's a brother toy to Hardbone, and the quote-unquote IDW Optimus looks a lot like he's a brother toy to Hegemon. Now, what I mean by that specifically in his case, Hegemon and this Optimus feel like they have some IDW overtones, but they also feel like they are taking that and then just being just chunky brick bots who are made of hard edges. This does mean that, especially in the case of the Optimus, he loses a little bit of something that the IDW Optimus had. I think it's, to me, some of the curvature of the skeleton. I don't mind, though, because as a companion piece to Hegemon, I think this works. I'm echoing a lot of people. I want to see a shot of this standing next to Hegemon. If it's the same size, this is not going to be like your perfect IDW Prime. It's going to be, you know, based on the IDW Optimus Prime, but I think it's way more a companion piece to Hegemon. And Hegemon had his own weird creative liberties taken, like an easy example being all the odd light piped red plastic that was everywhere. And Brainstorm is... Brainstorm. Smart Robin looks a bit better, but this guy doesn't look bad. He looks like he would match up well with Hardbone. So I want to see how all these turn out. I've had just like my experience with Toy World has been the toys, they feel good. The Throttlebots are definitely the kingly line they're working on. If they had to drop anything and just stick to one line, I'd say stick to those Throttlebots. But how you guys feeling about the Toy World stuff?
Another Optimus Prime. That's what we needed.
Third party Optimus Prime this time.
Oh, that makes it so much better because we've only had three of those.
This one looks like it transforms. Real interesting though. Like,
given credit, this Optimus actually, you know, isn't just a shrunken down one that already exists.
Yeah, it's a first for third parties.
I'm bitter. I don't know. It's one of those things where, okay, it looks really cool. Okay, and it comes out. It might just have some good timing with the IDW Deluxes coming out. At the same time, I'd rather the resources be put into stuff that is impossible for Hasbro to make.
Yeah.
Rather than something that could potentially come down the line.
I mean, yeah, I don't think that this is by any means filling in a gap. I'll actually be surprised if Voyager continues for generations. I'll be surprised if this IDW Prime doesn't show up as a Voyager. I'm kind of surprised that he was a legend and not the Deluxe. But I think as a companion piece to Hegemon, that's what justifies this loosely and not to everyone. I'm just saying, in my viewpoint, that's what this is. This is the Optimus that stands with that toy.
I don't know. My personal feeling is that third parties do work best, like TJ said, and when it's something that Hasbro isn't likely to get around to.
Mm-hmm.
Hasbro's going to do something that's about the same, and it's going to cost a whole lot less. And I'm not going to say that it's going to necessarily be better or worse or whatever. I just think that leaving the big guns to Hasbro also will keep third parties individually safe. Because, well, I guess the one that potentially got hit over the last week or so was the guy that was doing the straight up G1 knockoffs.
Well, that was the Chimungmung shop that got hit. And I think that was more the shop getting hit than the maker. Yeah. Although, you know, perhaps Chimungmung was run by a guy who was making those items.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that, you know, if it's Headmasters, they've not really done anything significant with Headmasters. If it's the Throttlebots, Hasbro Legal probably would have a hard time if they straight up called it by the names and likenesses, because what has been done with Throttlebots since they were released?
Yeah, we got one gold bug and that's about it.
Yeah. So those are the places I like to see third party work, because it's things that are more fan focus aimed at things.
We've been told, we're never getting a gun Megatron again, so right. Hegemon works.
And that works out. And that's where, like, my idea on this thing is just, if Hegemon didn't exist, I would be right there with you, but it's Hegemon's existence and this guy being a companion piece to it that very borderline justifies it still happening. I mean, the silhouette for this showed up a long time, like, way before Hasbro revealed any of their IDW-oriented stuff, although by the same means, that means they could have probably done right like Fans Toys and just said, all right, we're just going to step back on this, like Fans Toys Masterpiece Soundwave they were doing.
That's where I had a whole lot of enjoyment, or enjoyment's probably not the right word, but seeing them step back from the Soundwave. Yeah, good vibes. I think that that is also going to show well towards Hasbro not attacking them as directly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, look, okay, when it was something that could have potentially been any sort of stepping on each other, they just put their hands up and said, all right, good game.
Yeah.
You know, we're not even going to try and bite on you. And that's, you know, like I said, keeping them safe and letting them work in the space that they're going to be better off working in.
And I'm trying to not literally be like the proponent for the toy, but I just can't stand against it because of Hegemon and the way that Hegemon doesn't really have an optimal optimal Optimus Prime to match up against. That is the only reason why I feel this thing still should be pushed forward. Because otherwise I would have said, just lay back. No one remembers this. Just let it go and wait and see what Hasbro's generation line does for the next year and a half, if that. And then if that never materializes, you have a hole to fill. Because, yeah, right now, this isn't filling a hole. This is adding another Optimus Prime to the stack. Especially for folks who don't really care about Hegemon. This is really adding another one to the stack. What about the Throttlebot, though?
It's a Throttlebot. Have we seen much more of the supposed combining?
No, but seeing that this guy transforms completely different is making me less skeptical that that combining thing, I guess less skeptical about the combining thing. Because, truth be told, with Aurora and Grindrod in hand, I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, this feels like something you're just saying, because these things can be stood up.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really got me excited about looking at this guy is that he isn't their transformation, which means that they're actually not going... Like, I thought these things were going to be... Everyone is completely unique, but all kind of the same. Because that's what, you know, the Throttlebots all looked more or less the same. And stepping away from that, at least in the case of this guy, it's a double-edged move, because he looks less like a Throttlebot, but I think he looks more effective as an actual figure. So...
That's a lean I don't mind.
Mm. Mm. There's part of me that's kind of upset that it does look like a stronger figure, but it takes away a little bit of the Throttlebot charm because it's not using the top of the car for the chest or anything like that.
If there was one thing to change, I'd agree. Like, having the hood as the chest makes him look a lot more like a deluxe Autobot than a Throttlebot.
Yeah, it's just way more standard. It's just, you know, something I could pluck off a shelf. Yeah, it loses something that way.
Hmm. Yeah,
it just kind of becomes typical.
I see where you're coming from. I think I'm okay with it, because just as a standalone robot, the artistry of it still looks pretty good. But if that had still been the top of the car, all the other liberties taken, I think, would have made him look just as fresh. But perhaps the way he transforms means that that's just where the hood ends up. I don't know. Maybe if that backpack he has is the top of the car and there was some way to flip it.
Mm.
I really like the way that it appears that his legs transform, though. Like, if you start seeing what parts are being used there, there's some of the stuff I really liked about Aurora going on. It's like, parts of the car you wouldn't expect are kind of flipping around in a way that seems kind of unique.
Because what is that? Is that the front vent?
Oh, his feet?
That's the toe, or is that...
That's, take a look at the...
That's the rear, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the, I was gonna say pointy bit, but the visually pointy bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Toy World are not dead. I think dead's too strong a word. Toy World are not stagnant. They're still doing stuff. And you know what? This would be really dumb if we don't mention this, but they, Fans Project, out of nowhere, and I say that because they've been saying literally nothing for months, showed pictures of the remaining Stunticons, including the Motormaster, and mentioned potential release dates that they're aiming for on all three of them. So now there is at least information. June and July for the other two small dudes, and tentatively September for the Motormaster analog. And we got our first look in any way, shape, or form of the Motormaster analog in his own individual robot form and vehicle form. Well, robot form specifically. So these guys they're happening. The other two limb dudes...
It's still a thing. They're not just abandoning ship on it.
Yeah. I didn't ever think they were literally going to just, like, walk away from it, but I'm glad that the limbs are all going to be out before the summer's over, because that's going to keep the fires going, I think. I'm a little bummed out the Motormaster's happening September. I think that keeping these guys monthly would have really kept everyone's interest levels going, but, you know, c'est la vie. I'm sure there's reasons why it's not able to happen. And they look cool. They're definitely more unique in their take of how they work than T-Bone and Car Crash. And that's not rubbing some people the right way. And I don't disagree. I think they look fine. But if you're going to say you don't like them because they look too weird, I totally see where you're coming from. They're still concept cars. I don't know nothing about concept cars. Looks neat. And Motormaster has combiner pegs that look like Giant's shoulder pegs coming out of his shoulders. So that's interesting. Makes you almost wonder if those dudes know each other.
It looks like he's got some stuff hanging off his back as just Motormaster. There was somebody that was pointing out pictures that it looks like they maybe unintentionally were kind of blurring out sides. I'm trying to find the individual one to link it, and I'm not finding it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's just that... Where was that? Rah. But it was... Yeah, it's like that main photo. You see something hanging, the number 12 of 12 of the front page story. It looks like he has a long wedge. Sorry, go ahead.
Just from the first one, you can just see that there's enormous panel pieces hanging behind him.
Yeah, they're quote-unquote different companies, but... Specific angles that make stuff sticking off the back look smaller are a hallmark of one of the members of Giant, the hook analog.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the way they're hanging down is at least has a bit more artistry than the huge thing that was on the hook analog's arm. They're hanging back, swept back in a kind of like wing or samurai sword way. I just wish that there was a picture of the Motormaster robot mode standing with the other four robot modes, so I could get a better handle of what I'm looking at. Because he looks, granted he's also unpainted right now, but he looks a little bit alien next to the other ones. I need to see more, but I'm still all in on these. They look neat. And also, little follow-up in the same news story. Apparently, the Make Toys Chaos Paladin, their version of the Fallen, who is also using the Mobine molds, they're clearing up. He's been bumped back a bit, but his price apparently has also dipped. And that's made some trouble for Captured Prey. Orson at Captured Prey, he sent out an email. Customers who follow him will have seen it, but... He was operating on a price he was given that was based on the old yen, and apparently Make Toys are using the yen as their baseline. With the yen getting better, the price of Chaos Paladin has dipped by at least about $20. And Captured Prey are a site, because they're a small operation, they do payment up front on their pre-orders. So now Orson has to figure out what to do in terms of... Because he wants to price match. That means that it's going to suck for him, because a lot of those pre-orders happened a while ago, and you can read it on their Facebook page, but he's trying like mad to solve this problem for his customers, and I gotta give him some props, because he's been having a hard time with with the combined thing now of Fans Project and Make Toys, because he was having a hard time with Car Crash and T-Bone as well, getting them in a timely fashion. So, I want to give him a pat on the shoulder from over here. Orson is suffering for his craft, and I for one appreciate his efforts. That does it for our new picture picks as well. So let's talk about some TFCon, gentlemen. Number one, TFCon registration is up, if you didn't know. Aaron, I saw that you were there bright and early.
In and out at 9:01.
Bam. Well, this can't be a real convention then. Registration is supposed to be a painful process. You're supposed to get the white screen of death.
I didn't have to fax anything.
You can't even get the...
I didn't get timed out. I not tell me had there was credit card information show up on the
like there were at least five windows, right? So then there were timers on each one.
The only time the timer showed up was after you had everything in the cart and it was waiting for you to do the login process, in which case it was like a 15-minute countdown.
LionCon Canada, I guess.
Yeah, and it's crazy because TFCon went with a third-party solution for this that had it showed up front that there was like a $3 service charge that went to them versus having somebody's brother's roommate's uncle program it for us for Treefitty.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a thing I heard about one time. Something. It's in out west.
I love Canada. I love Bert and Ernie. All right, I'm not going to hear you talk mess on Bert and Ernie. So yeah, the registration's up, and there's a whole bunch of options if you're attending or not, because we also got the profile for the other exclusive, and in the registration they revealed the molds, so the other profile is for a heroic Gobit called Roswell. Before I saw the molds, seeing the word Roswell, and knowing this is third-party toys, kind of really, really made it obvious. Until, you know, you see also UFO mode, and it's like, all right, that's less nebulous than van mode. That's pretty... Yeah. But it's revealed Roswell is going to be the iGear version of Cosmos, and Vanguardian is going to be the iGear version of Brawn, called Hench. So Hench and UFO redressed as Gobits. I'm okay with that. There's also a couple... There was another new Gobit name dropped in here, Turbo Lag. I don't get it, because the guy was already called Turbo, so explain yourself, Daniel. Also, another great name drop of Bike Murder. Best name. I'm sure we already made it clear last episode, but...
It's such a blunt force transition from the original name. I have to love that.
It's truth be told, I've maintained Bike Murder, I think, has overshadowed the entire the entirety of both of these profiles.
I know. Someone needs to do like some type of third party motorcycle now, just for that.
We got Perfect Effects RC. That's
I don't think that'll work.
No, make Bike Murder a female character. Do it. Go whole hog. Leave the 5 o'clock shadow that Psykill had. Whatever.
It's a glandular problem.
Yeah, get the whole doctor girlfriend thing going on for the voice. It'll be a good time. So yeah, these guys are available. I believe they're $50 each. I do not recall now if that was the same price for non-attendees.
Registration was $50. Each of the toys was $50, and the non-attendees got another $10. So if you're attending to get in the door and both toys, it was $150. If you're not attending, it's $160.
Yeah, and I believe non-attendees, I mean, it's being shipped to you from Canada, which is going to suck. And, you know, the program and the toys and etc. So, you know, seems all right to me. But what else is in here? Oh, customization glasses. Apparently there's still space in those. If you've never done them before... And you are okay devoting a lot of a day to, you know, a somewhat satisfying artistic process, consider it. But if you have done it before, you know, leave. There's not many spaces. And also, in Aaron's case, Aaron, I think that you felt like, you know, you did it once and you're feeling like you've done it enough.
You're hitting all of the points I was going to say. It's something that I would definitely recommend. I think like taking the earlier one, if you have the option by the time this comes up and if you're interested in, so that you're not losing one of the convention days, which I'm glad that they did that. I was contemplating it, but I think I'd rather having done it once, that's neat. I don't think that they're going to show anything drastically different because they basically touched on all of the basics of customizing with the Hurricane. So I don't know what else I'd get out of it other than getting another figure. And
that crossed my mind for the last 2 years.
That was the one thing that made me sit there and hover over ordering that one. And I decided that, no, I'd rather have a day, especially because everything else is going on. I don't know how much time in the upcoming future I'll have for hanging out with friends and everything. So I would rather have more PAL time than one more toy.
And the upside of skipping it is that it is still a customization that's based on a toy you can get off the shelf.
Yeah.
So if you do want to make one, it's a lot less of a hassle than trying to make your own version of a BotCon customization class figure.
Exactly.
Because those get unique colors poured. And that's a different draw, and I don't think that's a bad thing. But it definitely means the TFCon class, I think, is a lot more of a you come here to learn how to customize class than you're coming here to get this even rarer piece.
Yeah, because BotCon, they do very little actual customizing to. It's like, this is how you assemble a toy.
Yeah, which I really liked that
10,000 more times with one bathroom break.
I liked that aspect of the time I did the BotCon customization class. I thought it gave me a much greater appreciation for what I'm buying off the shelf. But I also felt like doing it, like, in terms of the experience, doing it once was enough. I just felt a lot of envy for the actual finished pieces as time went on. But yeah, TFCon, it's happening. It's just July 26 to 28.
Okay, so, I was going to say, it's right there in the story.
I can't see the color yellow very well, you know, when it's...
That I don't have because my nobody went on the Fatal Furies thing and helped me out. Sorry.
Huh? Well,
I'm playing a game.
Every hour I have a cube, you know? I have trouble playing that game with the sound off when the missiles come in the scanning. I actually need the sound because I can't deal with the timing when I don't have the sound. I don't know why.
We just wait for the thing to turn green.
For some reason, it's a completely audio exercise for me. Like, I tried to use my eyes, and I do way worse. When it's fully audio, I almost get the perfect score on all of them. Like, the actual perfect score, not the you got within the first half perfect score.
Mm-hmm.
We should stop talking about that game, because that game's kind of dumb. And I don't want to encourage people to get into that, because I've seen stories of people actually dropping, like, not just, like, I think, you know, if you're really getting into it, whatever, drop $10 and you'd be done with it. You bought your starter deck of your card game that you're going to forget in 6 months. But I think there are some people who are literally, like, just dropping, like, not $10 once, but, like, $20 every other day of an event.
Yeah, so I was on it, like, as it came live with the new thing. And so I got to kicking around and I saw people that already had... like the level 4-5X thing that otherwise you can only get through buying packs, and then started looking at their there was some way that I saw a portion of what else they were doing, and I'm sitting there going, man, that is either the luckiest guy ever or he just dropped about $50.
Well, some people also were coming into that from the Android side who have had other events. And those are the powerhouses. Every iOS user is a newbie right now.
Yeah.
The Android users are the ones who are literally armed to the teeth from multiple other events with, like, just death squads. Like, there were dudes who could use one cube to kill level 5 RC.
Yeah, I saw people in the thread talking about that. I'm like, how am I playing this game wrong?
And then they shared
that math, too.
They shared their power level of their squad, and it was like 14,000. And I was like, oh, all right, mine's...
Yeah, let's see. My squad is... Do-do-do-do-do. The one thing I don't like is it really seems to hang a bunch. Yeah, my deck power is 3,000.
The best part is, I was hoping to tie this all back to TFCon of, like, let's all play Transformers Legends together at TFCon 2013.
Had, like, Street Pass.
The one thing that Legends is missing is the ability to actually directly play with your friends.
Yeah.
Which is the stupidest part of that whole game. You can't.
Yeah, that's something I'm still not sure about with, like, the allies. It's just, like, randomly picking people to ally you with.
Because I want
ally
points.
And you can cheer
points.
Them on. You can push the cheer button.
Yeah, you push the cheer button to get ally points. Once you have 10 allies, every time you push it, you get a free card. So, you can't trade cards, and you can't pick to just play the game against your friends. The two things that would have elevated this to at least a fun time at a convention. So let's, at TFCon 2013, let's all get together, let's all bundle up, and we'll all play Transformers Legends completely ignoring each other, because that's the nature of the game. Man, anyway, I'm really addicted to this game, and it's so dumb, and it's my fault.
You silly people and your game addictions.
My fault. So that's our little TFCon 2013 update. I'm guessing we're going to get pictures of the toys sometime in the next month or two, because that's how long we have until the convention. Let's move on to a listener question from Thunderboom, which is really fun to say, but that's actually not the name I know this user by. This user is Shock Pulse from Twitter and just about anywhere else. Rarely uses that Thunderboom name anymore. Thunderboom is a pretty cool name. But I know Shock Pulse from the Glios folks and that buying community, which, dude, why is everyone suddenly into Glios? Because I didn't do anything. It's like when everyone suddenly got into Lego. Like, have you looked at Twitter lately?
Yeah, well, I know. A lot of our Twitter is into Lego.
Yeah, but...
I'd like to think I have a part in that.
Yeah, but did you see everyone getting into Glios?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything! Like, I want to be able to take credit for it, and I can't, because I actually didn't do... I don't know what happened. Maybe the swing joints really just pulled people in. I don't know. But anyway, Shock Pulse goes on to ask and say, "Greetings to you, Generation 2 Pat Lee, Lego fans, Master Force aficionados, and any most esteemed co-hosts and guests. The recently announced My Little Pony Equestria Girls product line and or television show represents a bold step for that brand and will most likely be well underway by the time this message is read." I actually don't know. Instead
of... I believe it is.
Is it?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
Because
given the reaction to it,
I
figured there'd be a lot more noise on the internet if it had actually started. But continuing the question here, instead of featuring the usual titular ponies, Equestria Girls features the characters anthropomorphized into humanoid form while still retaining coloration and wings. Okay. This reminds me of the Transformers animated episode Human Error, as well as several instances from comics where Transformers holographic passengers are shown as humanized versions of the robot. If Hasbro announced a similar move for Transformers, creating a toy line or TV show or something else based around human versions of Transformers characters, what would you want it to turn out like? Would Cybertronian people have Megatron and Optimus Prime inexplicably attending school together? Would it be more superhero-esque, as animated tried in Season 1, including each character having their own special powers? Would everyone represent characters from historical fiction as the Gundam Three Kingdoms model present? Would Optimus Prime even be called that, or would his name be Oliver Pennyworth? I would be mad now if his name isn't that, because that's hilarious. Please discuss your own speculations about such a move, since there is now precedence for it. Digitally signed, Shock Pulse. I will say that seeing the Equestria Girls artwork, I found it very interesting, because the more rabid end of that fandom, I think, are not used to the way that children's television, and especially toy-oriented children's television, works. I think that that's going to be a big wake-up call for a lot of people if it wasn't already. And I'm actually really curious to see how that show turns out. It's an odd idea, because I feel like they're switching stuff up before they really need to, given how stoked that fire still apparently is.
Yeah, but my question that kind of leads to it, is there anything about My Little Pony that necessitates it being horses?
No. And as far as I understand, that was part of the draw, almost.
Well, kind of, because there's a lot more horse-oriented things. The draw is the fact that nothing that happens in the storyline is really that girly. Which is why it has cross-gender appeal.
Yeah. I like the term horse-oriented.
I'm not saying for girliness. I'm saying, is there anything essentially horse that's in there that couldn't be just little children doing?
Could be fairies.
For the most part, you got your little... Well, you got your little Pegasus thing, your unicorns. They all do little different things.
Fairies and witches.
But I'm saying that could be people just the same. Little cartoon people doing it that aren't horses and are just people, human beings or humanoid analog things.
It could be. And I think I think, as I said, that's part of the draw that thing has, is that it has this weird, like, just sideways swerve thrown in. And I say all this, I still haven't actually watched more than the first two episodes. So I'm very educated in this particular fandom. But, yeah, the idea of this happening for Transformers, to be honest, if it did happen on the Rescue Bots end of Transformers, not like literally that show, but that space it occupies, I wouldn't be entirely surprised, especially if Equestria Girls becomes a success. My big question about Equestria Girls is if that is just them directly just taking a swing at Mattel and just going like, hey, what's Barbie? And just like literally mm-hmm. taking a big swing at their heads. And I suspect that that could actually backfire. But if that is something that becomes successful, I certainly would not be surprised if it gets applied to the other brands somehow, even just in like, you know, this weird thing of like the fire chief off Oliver Pennyworth and the evil businessman, Manuel Gatron. And that's not what I would really want. I don't know what I would want out of this, because I think that the draw to me of this kind of thing is the nature of, I think the More Than Meets the Eye issue with the holographic projections really gets across mm-hmm. what I like about this, of like the Transformers trying to blend in with a smaller organic society that outright does not like them as a species, or would be terrified of them as a species. That's the draw to me, and I don't know if that is entirely in line with this question. Because basically, I would be cool with this show if it was, they are actually Transformers, but we're seeing them trying to interact with, you know, smaller, squishier societies. I would be into that show.
So Rescue Heroes.
I haven't seen Rescue Heroes yet.
It's worth catching an episode.
I hear good things, and season one is on Netflix CA now, I believe. I've been meaning to get to it, because I watched a clip of Tim Curry in it, and it was pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's Tim Curry.
What I mean, that aside, it was the Tim Curry factor set aside, the clip I saw was also pretty cool. But Tim Curry certainly helped as well. But Aaron, what would you want to see out of, you know, Cybertronian people?
I think animated in and of itself is pretty close to what I think he's maybe aiming at, because there was a lot more human level interaction. The Transformers, the Autobots went a long way to try and blend in and be a part of the community type thing. If we want to look back a little bit more, I've seen just enough of Rescue Heroes to know that Rescue Heroes kind of does that, but then I lost the track of it after a while.
And also, I feel like I don't actually know what the storytelling conceit of Equestria Girls is, so I'm missing a parallel as well.
But beyond that, I mean, I really don't know, because I think that making it all human gets rid of that whole transforming part of Transformers. Action mastering the show, I think, would go a long way to having everybody go, so what is this? It's a TV show about things.
And that's a border that I think some of the better Transformers fiction has walked.
Yeah.
But in a very careful way.
Yeah.
And I think that action mastering, to say that's a pretty good term, the show, I think it could work if it was done in an extremely careful way. Like maintaining the core conceits. That's why I think that doing it would mean that you would really need to have these be at least former Transformers who are dealing with, if not still are Transformers, but they're in disguise and projecting holograms. Like, it's either the holograms or they're dealing with they were Transformers and now they're not. Like, it's got to... That's where I think the fine line is, this kind of thing.
I don't know. I just feel that if you're making something else, then you're losing the Transformers premise. That's why the making the whatever they're calling it with My Little Pony, if there's nothing about My Little Pony that means that they have to be horses, then what they are is just the visual representation of this voice doing things, whereas Transformers have the transforming thing that makes them do thing.
I'm gonna look up and see if they've actually said what Equestria Girls is, because if it is those pony characters for some reason living in the human world, that is along the lines of what I'm talking about. But if it's just
it's from what I know, it's AU. They're in high school. It's more or less a grab for the girls who are starting to grow up out of the old My Little Pony cartoon.
So this has nothing to do with them actually.
No.
Okay,
no,
I don't care for that very much. Then that's kind of like what I don't want to see. That's That's, I am even less confident that this Equestria Girls thing is going to work now. It seems a little bit... Okay, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, that thing is happening sometime this year, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So, Omegas, what would you want to see out of human Transformers?
I'm not sure I'd want to see anything, but I'm going to be super literal with this one.
All right.
I just assume he wants a show that's like Equestria Girls, except with Transformer characters. Hmm. So yeah. I'm imagining, you know, he made the Gundam reference. Mm-hmm. I would kind of go for that.
Like parallels?
You had Megatron as this military commander who's, you know, trying to gain power through more seedy or strong-arming approaches. And you've got, like, Prime Minister Oppenheimer. Who's trying to maintain control, more civilized. And rather than your big, giant robot battles, you'd have our normal characters, you know, humanized. And everything, and the conflict goes through, like, street race style, like Initial D style.
This all sounds to me, though, like, it's...
What's the point of it being Transformers?
Well, to me, it sounds like what... Okay, this is kind of a stretch, but I foresee if that was to happen, like, just, you know, projecting into this alternate future, it sounds like it would start off trying to do what Ultimate Marvel tried to do, but it would end up falling down the hole Ultimate Marvel fell down, where... Eventually, Ultimate Marvel, in many respects, just sort of became 616.
Yeah.
And it feels like that story idea would, to me, logically lead to the development of transforming mecha that would eventually turn it into Transformers, which I wouldn't actually be opposed to. It'd be a neat approach to it.
Right. The reason the street races work in is because it's kind of mask-style technology.
Hmm.
Because you know, street racing by itself is boring. You need wings to pop out of the car.
It's weird. It's an interesting question, though. Because, I mean, yeah, this kind of question, or at least, you know, the scenario described by this question, did actually cross my mind when this Equestria Girls thing popped up everywhere. And I am super curious to see how that pans out. Because I think that may... I don't think it's going to have direct impact on a lot of franchises, but I think if it works, the idea of doing a parallel but completely different iteration of something using the same tenets of the IP is not going to be impossible. Also, doing an image search for Equestria Girls has given me some really weird results.
You'd never image search anything, My Little Pony.
Like, severely weird. Like, man, what am I looking at?
There's some horrifying things created by very, very wrong human beings, okay?
Well, it's kind of like any Google image search, except that, like, it's way more pastel. Like, just scrolling through it really fast, I'm getting this huge blur of just, like pastel. Like, pastel crack, just right in the... Anyway, that's our My Little Pony discussion for 2013. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about some toys we bought. Maybe someone bought a My Little Pony. I don't know. This is episode 250 of WTF at TFW. We're in the quarter century aspect of things here. Anything can happen.
Quarter millennial.
Quarter century aspect of things here. Talk to you later.
Charles. I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes.
That you are yourself one of the largest individual stockholders in the public transit company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to two people. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's
on the other hand, I am the publisher of the Enquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. If I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged, maybe somebody else will.
Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes, yes,
and that
yes.
Would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy. Don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, Orson Welles clap. Weaponeers among cop. Pieces have sold out. Anyway. We're going to talk about what we got this week. And we're going to start off by talking about the Transformers that we got this week. And I'm going to start off by just getting this garbage out of the way. Aaron, what did you get this week?
I got Bulkhead. A deluxe Bulkhead.
Oh, how is he? I've looked at him a couple times.
As I hypothesized, as Roadbuster, he's great.
So, Transformers are on sale here right now, and I could get a deluxe Bulkhead for after tax, let's say about $14. Do you think I should do that, or should I just keep holding off?
What's the normal price point?
Okay, they usually end up being around $18.
Okay.
Over here, so right now he's knocked down to $12 in tax.
Yeah, he's fun.
Because I was eyeing him today, and I was like sitting there and thinking, I'm sure I could eventually get him for $8 to $10.
That I don't know about because he's wave two.
Sell me on him.
So like I said, as not a Bulkhead, because mine actually was, we were at the grocery store of all the places, and they had it at the grocery store for $11. And at $11, he's awesome. If you can go into your Kroger's or Payless or is it like Buy Right or something? I don't know. There are like five that are all the same chain name, that are all the same company but different names.
Every Transformer I've ever seen at a grocery store is like 50% more expensive.
Nope. Not at least when this thing got scanned.
What did you do?
What are you saying? I should like middleman now for people?
Did you start doing all your Lego hacking and just like use some bricks to change the price in the system?
No.
paste.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, he's pretty cool. Definitely does have a little bit of Mammy Faces. Or is it Man at Arms? Man at Arms, kind of. Armor and the rivets on the front of his armor get worn down because it's the orange plastic, not the green plastic that they molded that out of. Why? I don't know, because the only thing you see is the green on it, but
there, now that I've seen those Gizmodo articles, all I can think is there was a reason. Yeah. And I want to know what it was.
And we always know that there is that reason.
Yeah. But even more so, like now that we've had the deeper look and it's all been refreshed in my head. Like I'm really hot on that stuff now. I'm like, why? Yeah.
And it probably is because of the other plastic that's connecting to it. It would be better if it was this plastic, or because they were going to paint it, this other one won't take paint as well, or whatever. There probably is a logical reason behind it, or an idea of a repaint. It would be better in that color. But anyway, he's pretty cool. The biggest kind of quibble that I have is that, his hood, it spreads apart and it makes like a roof over his head and shoulders, which doesn't really get in the way of anything. It just seems kind of awkward. Like with a swivel, you could get it back behind and tuck it into his already kind of sizable backpack that I know I'm not messing up because it's like a hinge piece and it can either be like everything directly over his head or kind of behind him tucked in and a rain hat.
Because the thing, I've seen how he transforms, and that actually tricked me, because it made it look like his transformation worked differently than how it actually does, like in my head. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and I actually got one that has some pretty cool swirl on the orange plastic, at least. It makes it look like a good mud splatter pattern across his hood, which is what it's got to be aiming for. But yeah, it's the first time I've had the good reaction out of that. I have a couple of loose of the like collar joints, the swivel joints. It's like the peg on one and the collar on the other side in his hips. So his hips like to, or his thighs like to swivel out real easy. But no, he's pretty pretty cool. If you can find him for super cheap, he's definitely a pretty cool super cheap pickup.
Yeah, I've been just also his size. I've been very tempted by him. He looks like a fun block of toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he stands about the same as all the deluxes have been. I'm just holding him up next to. I've got Ultra Magnus and Jazz here on my desk, and they're about the same height. So you're not getting anything huge or small out of it. It's the new deluxe size, and he's pretty rad. Yeah, as Roadbuster, he's great. As a bulkhead, I'm still kind of on the we'll release these toys, but with spikes.
Well, I mean, the head sculpt, at least on him, looks so like you.
Oh
like,
yeah,
it's less obvious.
It's a different head.
Yeah.
Totally. It's not like a head with something on it. It's a armory goggled head, so he's pretty cool.
Sweet. Well, that's a good what we got this week from you.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
To Springer.
Oh.
Actually, no, let's do the other one first. We'll keep working our way up. with Blitzwing. Blitzwing is interesting. Part of his problem may be that he is Peridicon Springer, and Springer does what he does very, very well, and Blitzwing does what he does all right.
I'll add on to that by saying that I saw a couple of people who got just Blitzwing or only messed with Blitzwing. Easy example being Adam16bit on Twitter, not being super impressed with Blitzwing, regardless of, like, without having experienced Springer.
Okay.
So it seems like Blitzwing is definitely the one that is going, like, there are people who love Blitzwing. So it seems like Blitzwing is the one that's not going to be the surefire win for a random buyer.
Yeah.
I agree with you that I think Springer, the way he looks, is definitely impacting that, but it sounds like it's a Blitzwing thing as well.
Yeah. Because it's like, so the shoulder problem that everybody was initially flipping their lids over, how they were going to never buy a Hasbro toy again. It got almost that bad in some places. Is a thing.
Yeah, and it sounds like it, and especially Volkaisis, I believe, said he got one that was rock solid shoulders right out of the package.
Really? So it seems like it's
very much like just the production process is causing a variance in that.
Yeah, it looks like there should be a way that'll all clip together and hold together. What I found is just when you go to move the shoulder, you just give it a little bit of pressure on top of that shoulder, and it moves just fine. But if you release that pressure, it'll just flop wherever.
At this point, I have literally heard everywhere on the spectrum on the shoulders, so I'm really sure that's just a case of they designed it, and unfortunately, in mass production, a new factor
in manufacturing it didn't. Yeah. The biggest thing I have issue with is paint on Blitzwing. So in the package, the two Blitzwings that were there, one of them, since he has the canopy chest. The band that sits like behind the pilot that's painted on the yellow transparent plastic on one of them was completely rubbed off on the bubble of the package.
That's a shame.
So in inserting it, it wore all that paint off. Mine has a little sign of wear. Also, that is the lowest point when he's a tank. So if you don't have his tank treads pulled all the way down, that's going to rub a little bit. Also looking at him as a tank, as I have him now, the outside of the tank treads, like the armor section that goes over the rolling tread stock, is painted. The entire piece is painted. You can see that it's a purple plastic where it's worn off on the outer projecting points, and all of it is painted that tan. I mean, you can sit there and see on the inside of it, it's painted, and I have no idea why. If you're going to paint the whole thing, why not mold it in that color?
I need to see it in hand, but that sounds like the issue that I took with, I guess, just the inclusion of clear windows on Ratchet and Knockout in Prid. That doing that led to having to blow so much of the paint budget in a really, like, at first glance, milquetoast kind of way.
Well, it's even like the hollow paint on the inside of the leg is painted.
Mm-hmm.
So these two pieces came off of a sprue and went into just a paint bath. And it ends up being non-functioning wheels for the jet mode is where this wear is happening most, because you like rotate that piece 90 degrees for the jet and it's just already worn out from just like my little on a table and without any like super aggressive action against it. So it's rough. There's just so many places where it seems like the tabs, okay, it's got two places to tab things in, and you tab one in and the other one pops off. You know, the sides of his chest and a part in the middle of his back are the two tab points for the treads, and it just won't tab. So it's a clearance thing. I think that they engineered it to a really tight tolerance.
Yeah.
That it just hasn't been able to hold. The same thing with his head is supposed to have a spring gimmick. When you push it down into the chest, it's supposed to stay there so that you can put the nose cone over top. And I think I've only seen like two people say in the feedback thread, yeah, mine works fine. What are you guys complaining about? And everybody else hating their guts.
Yeah, it sounds like the whole toy, like especially in the tolerances of the tabs, given the different like wildly different experiences I was reading about him. It sounds like you got it. Like he must have been designed under very specific tolerances that just couldn't be reliably carried out in the factory.
And I got to say, my favorite mode is one popularized by Pogue of...
Good old Pogue.
Of the space tank.
I love that mode! And I immediately went to look up to see what he looked like in the video games and found out he was never in the video games.
Yeah.
Because it looks exactly like a War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron mode.
Yeah, you turn his turret around and you flip out all of the wingy bits that you can, and he looks like a pretty cool little like hover space tank. I like that he has all three of the Armada heads, animated heads. It's an A word. Come on.
Armada would be a very different show.
Yeah. And there are plenty of good points. If you dig triple changers and Blitzwing is a triple changer that you dig, it's not a bad pickup, especially at the $20 to $22 price point.
I'm really pleased to hear that. Something as simple as just the Cybertronian flying tank fan mode comes out so well, because that to me was the big potential of both those toys, was the fan moding.
Yeah, and that's something that you start to get into when you deal with more than two forms, because this part has to double as this and this, so if you do it like half a transformation each way, you can end up with other modes. That's why that RID Megatron Galvatron has 80 babillion modes, because he was originally like a 9 changer or whatever.
Well, he was a 6 changer, and then they made him a 10 changer in his repaint by just pulling in 4 more, like, well, this looks like a mode.
Yeah. Well, I think he got 2 more tabs and pegs or something.
For the elephant mode, I believe.
But yeah, once you're dealing with something with ball joints that's a 10 changer, then you can do anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you. Like, it sounds like Blitzwing, if I get a good one, it sounds like I'm going to end up really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I think that the recommendation I would give people from everything I've been hearing is just get one, and if the tolerances are really not working, just return it and get another one. Like, it sounds like that's the big dice roll, is how many pieces of engineering are going to be a little bit finicky. It sounds like, especially with things like the head spring and the shoulder lock, like... And yeah, I still haven't seen them in person, but it sounds like those are things that are not going to be easily solved by future or sanding like tabs would.
Yeah, it's totally like it needs a little bit more space or a little bit less space or however it's got to go.
I'm really excited to mess with that toy. I've been basically radio blind on Springer by choice, but Blitzwing, given the discussions about him, I've been reading up on him, and I'm just excited to see how mine turns out.
But, so then the other one was Springer.
I hear he's good.
Oh, he's great. I really dig, I ended up not getting 2 screws Hasbro.
So I saw on your Twitter.
Yeah. Just manufacturing mistake.
Send it back.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do that with no others been sighted yet.
Send it to Hasbro. They'll send you another Voyager. It's practically the same toy.
Yeah. It's something approximately the same.
I have an animated lug nut.
And even for where the screws are missing, it's not even anything essential. It leads to a gap in his leg that it's not a significant issue.
Toy's ruined.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, getting text messages from family. Wonder why. 11 o'clock at night. Okay. The way that he pulls off the differences between his helicopter and his car mode are astounding and simple at the same time. It's the main cockpit windows for the helicopter just go up and back on a slide panel, kind of, and there it goes, and that's it, and crap, it's cool. I've this is going to be my fiddle former for the next good while. If I had to call issues, it's that he's got a case where tabs don't quite line up for his helicopter mode, where he has a plate that goes back over his legs that you have to kind of tilt up and then back into place. And it has tabs and it has slots, and they don't quite line up and hold together. Not a big issue. It's like his knee, his above his knees, he has a pin joint that will let him knock his knees together all the way so that his knees to ankles can be side to side. And it's like it needs to go just a touch more on mine to be able to line everything up. But other than that, he's wicked cool. Especially the thing that made me run through it two or three times is the panel that covers up his front wheels when he's in helicopter mode or in his arms. The way that it's a panel that rotates 180 degrees and then pushes itself in to go flush in order to make the vehicle sides that then line up with the holes in the arms that you flipped around to conceal everything. So it goes from being this loose assortment of bits to you flip this one panel around and you're like, oh crap, it's a car door and window and hood all in one piece.
I'm really happy now that I got in a pre-order for the Japanese one as well. I want two of that toy.
Yeah. The place where I have the biggest, I guess, biggest issue is that he has a gappy hood between his shoulder panels and the central hood piece, and it just quite doesn't want to all hold together all the time. Where it seems like, because I made the comment on Twitter, it seems like Springer got all the tabs that Blitzwing missed. This is one place where it seems like the tabs are just missing a little bit of something somewhere, and I'm not sure even where it could be. I don't know if I've got, because it seems like ends up with a little bit of an interference issue with the ball joint plate or the swivel plate that his head sits on, and some of the side pieces of his like delt or his like shoulder armor or shoulder.
Do you think that perhaps is a case of something that might have worked on the prototype and the flex of the plastic is kind of fighting against it?
Maybe. I think it's something that it's getting down into such, because there is like three or four layers of stuff all getting stacked in on top of each other here.
Yeah, and again, and so, like I'm coming at this completely blind, so I'm just
it's going another off one. I mean, you might hear this little that click back and forth is a case where I think it's, you know, held together, it looks really nice, but that's keeping pressure on the sides that as soon as you let go of it, where everything just naturally sits and torques is just a little bit off. And it still looks all right, but it just, with him already being a little bit gappy holding him together, when you let go of that, it makes it just a bit more gappy. So it's not a deal-breaker Zomg thing, but that's a little bit, and then it also does have he has places where a couple of different tabs just need to be, you need to get everything. I have transformed it perfectly once and went, yay, there it is, but I want to keep playing with this toy, so that I somehow managed to find just the right way to stress all of these pieces against each other to hold it all the way that I want it to be, goes out the window because I want to turn him into a helicopter now. And the way that all the helicopter stuff integrates for the helicopter mode is just genius. He has an additional little bit just forward of the handle of his rifle that plugs perfectly into the slot left by where his front landing gear comes down, and it clips into place really hard, and then it makes just a huge, like, front-mounted weapon for that. And also kind of a creative way that the sword gets stowed. So he has, like, knee blade kind of things that turn into landing gear. And they have a notch in the backside of it that holds the cross guard of his sword just perfectly so that it sits underneath the car and, like, where the drive shaft would kind of be. And so many things about this toy have just that little bit of, oh, what? No, they're not. Oh, they did. Oh, that's cool. So, if you see the triple changers, I like Mind Springer. And especially so when you have IDW Comics behind him.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like overall, like, going as objective as possible, Springer just turned out better.
Yeah.
But I am all pumped for both. There's, like, Springer, I admit I've actually been tuning out some of what you were saying a little bit, kind of staring off into space.
Hey, but, you know, I do not blame you for wanting to have a unique experience with your own Springer.
Yeah, and I would be doing it with Blitzwing, but I'm actually glad I did the reading on Blitzwing. It makes me more excited for Springer, and it makes me feel like I am ready for how a Blitzwing could turn out. And if I get a bum Blitzwing, that, you know, whatever, that's just how it's going to be. I'll try to modify it, and I'll just grab another one and pass the bum one along to someone who'll have fun with it. But the sheer audacity of what they are trying to do with both of those figures really excites me. The same way that I was really excited by the Bruticus Fall Cybertron toys. And it sounds like these ones ended up being even more solid. But just trying to cram so much toy in there, especially right now, even though we're on the upswing, it really gets me excited.
Yeah. And it still is amazing for even the air quotes dud of Blitzwing, that there's that much toy packed into what's still a $20 price point. I would have been surprised to see either of these toys at the price point with the previous version of sizings and pricings.
Mm-hmm.
This is still pretty cool.
Those guys look like they could have been sold at the Weaponizer price point. Like that kind of that slight bump up.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes
I'm still not sure if this is what they were aimed for, and everybody's kind of relaxed off of the price some.
Well, it makes me really excited to see how the less stringent on the budget Japanese versions turn out too. Particularly Blitzwing, because if you're talking about the paint issues you're having with him, I want to know what, like, an even more painted Blitzwing ends up looking like after he's been transformed a bunch.
Yeah.
But
that's the one thing on Blitzwing. It seems like that plastic or that paint is like the tackier paint.
Oh, like on Prowl back in the day.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or like the what is it? Silver Streak had it even worse, didn't he?
Yeah.
Prowl. Silver Streak, animated Soundwave had it bad too.
Yeah, I remember the sticky paint now.
Mm-hmm.
My Prowl and Soundwave were actually pretty fine, but my Silver Streak was the one where it really became a reality for me, where I was like, wow, I bet you on a really humid day this thing could stick to my thumb.
Yeah, it is that paint.
Try owning those toys in Florida.
That's why I don't.
Every day is humid. I put them in robot mode, I've set them aside, and I was like, oh, hi Smokescreen, you're gonna be my playmate for a while.
FYI, I actually really still need a deluxe Smokescreen, and okay, this is a total tangent, but you know how everyone has that one toy that they just can't get at a decent price? Smokescreen is that toy for me. Just whatever reason, the stars never align between me and deluxe Smokescreen. It's really weird, because I don't even really care about him that much. I just kind of want him because I have the other two. But it's like, just no matter what I do, there's always just this huge border between me and a deluxe Smokescreen, and I don't care enough to want to try to ford that river.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know what triggered that little ramble, but I'm glad that you found the triple changers already, because I remember back when we were talking about them, you were really in the heart of being kind of bummed out, and I was like, I bet you that at least one of those would brighten up your day.
Yeah, and then actually, Alfie bought me the Springer as an early birthday gift, since my birthday is going to be coming up here shortly.
Oh, happy early birthday.
Well, I know that you'd buy these for yourself and your birthday's coming up, and I don't know what else is coming out soon, so here, happy birthday. I was like, what? You don't got to? Well, okay.
Orson Welles applause.
Yeah. Oh, she's passed out on the couch, so she doesn't care.
So if I'm counting correctly, you've now filled out all 8 moods you were talking about earlier?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Omegas, what Transformers did you get this week?
My week was very small, in that I've got 4 to talk about, and they are all very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with my little Cyberverse grabs for the week, I found a Smokescreen, who is actually... The strange thing is, I think I like the engineering on this one better than the Deluxe.
Yeah, I was waiting to see what you were going to say, because that Legends, their Legion Smokescreen really surprised me. I like that toy a lot.
Yeah. It just really nice. I love how complete the transformation feels. Like, usually the Legions, they have this real problem with getting things to lock in, and they just generally feel like, well, you move things about, and then they just hopefully sit there. Where Smokescreen does a lot of little clever things that just kind of pegs and clips things together very nicely.
Yeah.
He feels just so solid.
And I'm happy a lot of people who were skipping him seem to be gravitating towards the Prowl redeco, and so I'm glad a lot of people are going to get to play with that mold, because I agree with you, and I like the Deluxe Smokescreen. The Legends toy is really hitting the mark a little bit cleaner.
I was in that same boat. I just happened to go, and I will admit, I do this from time to time, like, you know, the podcast is coming up, I should really try and get some kind of Transformer. Just so I don't have to just sit there and twiddle my thumbs during the second half.
Yeah, we all know it's a very poor reason to buy anything, but I'm sure we have all still looked
at
things.
Yeah, well, that's initially what my Bulkhead was, and I almost didn't get it this week. As to have something upcoming, but I just went, I'll forget about it otherwise.
Right. No, I was in the same boat. I was going to wait for Prowl, who actually, now that I just dropped him in my pile of loot before the triple changers hit it, so I'm quite happy to have this toy twice over.
Yeah, I was eyeing a Prowl in person, and I was eyeing a Hunger, but they were both at a comic store, so they were like $10 bucks each. So I was like, I don't need to do this, so I walked away.
No, but it is extremely nice. Like, and I'll even say, like, I kind of like the deco better with the silver.
Oh, on Smokescreen?
Yeah.
I agree. When I looked at Prowl in person, I also was sitting there kind of going, I thought he was going to look better. I think Prowl actually looks really boring compared to Smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is Prowl, though. I mean, it's stark white and black.
There's the thing is that he needs that red punch somewhere, and I think that if you can just go in there with some red and touch up the Cyberverse Prowl's robot mode a bit, it would explode and it would be great. But yeah, the silver plastic on Smokescreen is so nice.
Yes. And I love the weapon. The Cyberverses are getting some really cool weapons now.
Yeah.
It's got a chainsaw on like this grenade launcher thing. This is awesome.
It's a Lancer from Gears of War, like almost perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm still playing with it. No, yeah, really, really happy to pick it up. I mean, it was just for something that was an impulse purchase.
Yeah, I think Smokescreen is actually the best of the first 4. I haven't messed with the Bumblebee, but I don't think that's going to change my opinion.
Yeah.
I like the other, like the first, like Bumblebee aside, that first wave of Cyberverse, I think was a huge step forward. But I think Smokescreen just eked out Twin Strike for me.
I'm torn between the two.
Yeah, and then, you know, understandably so. All 3 of them, Arachnid, Twin Strike, and Smokescreen, they're all, I love them.
Yeah, it's got me, really looking forward to Wave 2 coming up. I really want to see how they turned out on Soundwave.
Heard good things.
Stepping up one size. My commanders for the week, I picked up Hardshell and Trailcutter.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Man, Trailcutter did something weird for me. Where I got these, like, super stiff legs. They're just, like, perfect. And then everything above the waist is just barely holding on.
I don't have anything to an extreme, but on mine, the upper parts were looser than the legs. Just a bit.
Well, joint quality aside, well, it's a trail cutter. I'm happy.
Mm.
And I already love this mold. I love the wide shoulder stance. I think it does a lot of really good usage of bulk. Just really makes this really powerful looking robot. And the upgrades for the Beast Hunters just set off so nice with it. Love the extra blades. I love the extra guns.
Yeah, I think that was possibly my favorite commander toy out of Prime's Cyberverse. So it didn't ruin anything. It improved a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Very happy with it. And here's what I'm really happy about. That every time we've gotten a Trailbreaker of any type planned out, there's always been some marketing thing that caused him to be off. You know, they couldn't trademark, the name couldn't be trademarked, or there's too many black toys coming out at the same time, let's repaint him. And then there's the Cybertron situation.
Mm.
So when he's coming out in the same wave as Hardshell, a show character with two good, named show character with two good episodes to his credit, and it's Hardshell that gets the shortcut. He's the one that gets changed for marketing reasons. Can't have two black plastic toys at the same time.
Yeah, I see the homage that is in there. Which one it is, but
it's very Energon Insecticon.
Yeah, which all goes back to that deluxe Insecticon. Is it Barrage? Is he the yellow and green one?
The only one I can ever remember is Chop Chop.
Venom?
Venom, yeah.
Venom is yellow and green.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, who am I thinking of? Which one was Barrage? I thought, wasn't Venom the orange and green one?
Oh, jeez.
I only know this because they're all in my stupid mobile game.
Oh, yeah.
So, the yellow and green one, anyway, that's the homage.
The orange and green one is Venom.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I got a whole lot of Venoms with my silver medals, and I sold a whole lot of them. It's a dumb game. Anyway, continue.
very nice toy. I like the transformation on him. I like how he kind of bundles up, and it's a nice fluid transformation. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the presence I should out of the robot mode.
He is like, still more of just a Insecticon than the badass commander of him.
Yeah.
But being such a weird color scheme makes me want to just treat him like a weird hard shell analog than want to build, like, I think I mentioned this before, like, just that the color puts me off of wanting to army build that particular release.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. It's like, it'd be cool to own, like, my own little mini swarm, but it doesn't feel right. Like, there's just something off here. Yeah, which is the point where Takara is going to release the show accurate one, and it's just like, ah, oh, crap.
Yeah, and it'll be $12 per, but you'll end up buying three because, it's just going to happen.
Yay. Just like it always happens.
Yeah. I'd like to get Aaron in on this, actually, because, the Insecticons are basically a larger Viacon, so he really should be buying a bunch of them.
And no.
Say whatever you want to say right now. We all know what's going to happen.
I don't need. I got a dog with butt cancer. I know I keep flogging that problem, but
we all know what's going to happen. One
had
way or another.
Pancreatitis recently.
One way or another.
It was real scary.
He was
puking after his chemo this morning. I cleaned up so much puke this morning.
I feel for you, but you are going to end up buying a bunch of Insecticons someday.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. I would say I do really like the toy, but the colors do keep me from wanting to troop build it, and there's just something about the proportions on him that just something is lacking. I don't know if the neck is too long, the head is too small. Something is off.
I think it's his legs.
Legs are a little bit... Because you can get that hunched over look out of him, but... I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's his limbs that make him not feel quite like the show. They're not, like, skinny, but they come off feeling a bit more like, I don't know, like, for some reason I want to say a kangaroo than the big, like butt-masher dude that I'm expecting.
I'm going to say it makes me feel more like, now I really wanted him to be a Voyager.
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels like they had the right idea here. It just they don't have the... You know, when you're producing this thing, you gotta go, well, it's got to be either as tall as a Cyberverse or it's got to bulk out. So and I think they went for the height rather than the bulk that he needed.
And I think his transformation is really well done. So it does make it sting that he's also only a Cyberverse.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like almost like whoever designed him was like, well, this is our one shot, and just went all out on it. And then he just started typing as well. Crazy.
Yeah, I'm getting annoyed here. People leave me alone. I tell everyone I'm podcasting, and then they get chatty.
I just don't reply to them. I give them the stone cold treatment because I'm a stone cold killer, like sure Godzilla. I like Hard Shell. What else did you get?
last Transformer for the week. Managed to find the Botshot Galaxy Convoy.
I saw that one, but I saw him, and I was like, bot shots sometimes go on sale, so I kind of, because he's a jump shot, I waited.
I hadn't had a jump shot before.
I went Shockwave. So
I heard. No, this was my first experience with one, and oh my god, I'm worried about this thing putting dents in my table.
Yeah, the jump shot spring is a beautiful spring.
And I'm glad I like it this much, because, you know, of course it's my favorite Prime, probably my favorite toy shrunken down, and it's such a crazy random homage in the post movie era.
Yeah, someone out there loves the right stuff.
Yeah, it made me very happy to see, because the vehicle mode is very faithful.
Mm.
I'm glad I like it this much, because this thing took like 10 minutes at the checkout line just to pick up.
Did you just encounter, like, the world's biggest Galaxy Force fan?
No, I wish.
No, you're not. You wouldn't wish after 10 minutes. You'd be like, mm-hmm. All right, shut up.
No, it was one of those things where it wouldn't scan. You know, the woman tried to scan it, like, 5-6 times. Then she went, well, the scanner's broken. Then she tries to punch in the number 7, 8, 9 times.
The individual UPC wasn't in there, so it wasn't something they could sell.
Well,
I love the idea of a bot shot causing all this trouble.
it's what happens a lot of times if you're right on the bleeding edge of a toy coming out. It's not like that says deluxe, that says the individual toy, or bot shot. It says the individual bot shot. So
I like the use of the term bleeding edge with bot shots as well.
Yeah.
It's the cutting edge of 2013 bot shot technology.
So what's happened is corporate hasn't sent down to that store the latest UPC codes, so they have to go and find another one and trick it and then screw up their stock.
It wasn't one of those things where, well, we can't sell that to you. It's just they had no... They were trying to get my money. They just had no idea how to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You had an assistant manager come in and try the exact same things, go, I don't know, and walk off. And then another cashier come out and say, no, those things are like $9. I was like, no, it is not.
But how much do you love Galaxy Convoy if they stuck
shut up.
That?
I already paid Toys R Us price for this thing. I should prove it. Yeah, walkie-talkie relays to the store manager who was staring at the thing, and he wasn't giving him the... They wouldn't just say what was on the tag. They kept reading off numbers that weren't the price. Trying to get the computer to bring it up so it came up in the inventory.
This has become my favorite bot shot toy.
It was one of those things where I was like, please, dear God, just here. Look, it's $5.99. I was looking right at the tag. I'm not happy about the price either. Just take my money already. But it,
I'll give you $5 and a dollar. Have a free penny. What's taxes? And just like run off.
It's just one of those things where they wouldn't take my answer for it because I wasn't wearing the name tag.
You got to carry a name tag around. That's what I do.
Right.
No, listen, I work here. It's $7. Trust me, $7. Sorry, $7.99. Here, take 10. Keep the change. Love you.
Give him the finger guns.
That's right.
So yeah, like I said, I'm happy that I like it, because good lord, this thing was annoying.
Eh. Sounds like it was worth it.
Oh, it was. Was.
That thing is going to be mine this year, I just don't know when yet. But I'm guessing that's all your Transformers.
That would be, the meaning of last thing I got, yes.
Excellent. My psychic powers have prevailed. I got a couple of things. The first thing I got was actually some stuff from Venksta, who I got a pair of swords. So I've linked you guys to what they both look like. I thought I was just going to get the Frost Blade, which is the Arctic color version of the Banshee Blade. I think the Darkness Blade, the Shattered Blade, like the two-piece component small sword that he's done that usually has like a translucent core and a solid hilt. Mm-hmm. So this one is in like a it looks like it's a blue translucent core and blade, but the hilt, it looks white in some pictures. It's actually a really icy, very, very pale blue that's slightly pearlescent, and it looks gorgeous. The other thing, though, that was the surprise was the Frost Saber, which is the translucent blue version of the Hawk Saber, which I believe is also going to be a Charticon exclusive, or no, not Charticon, a Derricon exclusive in red as the Magma Saber. It's basically a really bladed-looking sword, and this translucent blue version looks amazing with Thundertron. It's also really sharp, so, you know, don't ram it in your eye or anything. And it's really cool. Venksta does good work, and I'm always happy when I'm able to, you know, when the stars align and I get a hold of something that he's worked on. It's always a pleasure. So props to Venksta for doing good stuff. I think that the Hawk Saber and the other one for Gigatron, those things are still on the way. But once you see what the Hawk Blade, no, Hawk Saber. When you see what the saber looks like in whatever form, it's surprisingly large. And it actually reminds me a bit of the Armada Star Saber, just like the shapes on it. Like there's no like pieces of space shuttles, but
it looks like how the Star Saber was in their heads before they engineered it.
Yeah, it's got like the basic shapes that they kind of just translated over to the show without really working in the engineering in the show model.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. I also got my CR1025 batteries from my Quakewave. So I found an eBay auction based out of Canada. There's only one actual seller in Canada with them. I didn't want to get one from the States because I was like, I want them now. I don't want to deal with batteries going over I want them now. So it was a rack of five batteries for about $4 shipped, I think, or $5 shipped. It was basically just under a dollar a battery. And I wanted some spares. Before I bought it, I actually went walking around my area because I was like, I will pay up to $2 a battery if I can find them in person because I want my batteries now and I'm impatient. But I actually couldn't find any, so I got home and did the eBay auction. It took longer than I thought to get here because they're based out of Ontario, but it took like 3 days to get here. I was kind of bummed out. I put up a video of my installation of the batteries. Anyone out there who wants to vicariously experience the stress, or who went through the stress and wants to have the schadenfreude of fun of watching me go through the stress, check out the video. I was really tired when I did it too, so apparently I missed something, which is the fact that apparently I didn't go back to look, because I'm like, I don't even want to know. But the inside of the battery cover on the forearm actually has pluses, like the cover that I took off and set aside had the plus and minus on it. So what I did to put the batteries in was I accidentally had switched on the switch. So when I was tapping the battery against it, the light was flickering on and off, and that's how I knew it was going in the right way. So that became my way of putting the batteries in. But, so the battery into the forearm took like all of a minute. Battery into the head took about 15 plus minutes. Because the space, you know, we all know this, the space was designed for a 1020, and I went looking everywhere. I was ready to pay premium for a 1020, and I couldn't find any easily. I think I saw like an Alibaba listing, but I was like, I want it to be on eBay or a battery store based in North America, or I don't really want to bother. So I couldn't find them. And the 1025 doesn't happily just wedge in there. You got to do, I didn't want to modify the plastic or shave anything, because I wanted to leave it that way so if I do ever find a 1020, I could switch it in. So I just kind of like shoved the 1025 in there. And like the thing that makes it difficult is the dimensions of the inside of Quake Wave's head don't account for very much extra space, which means the 1025 not only has to be shoved in there, but it has to be shoved in a way where it's not going to butt up against the ridges of the inside of the head moldings. So it's very difficult. And you're also doing all of this while holding a very small, mostly exposed circuit of electronics, which are just kind of soldered together. And everything feels like if you squeeze it too hard, it's going to just crumble to dust in your hands. So the end result is really great. And I say all this, by no means is Quake Wave actually a poor toy. He's a fantastic toy, regardless of his electronic features. But I think Fans Toys would set a lot of hearts at ease if they had a system set up where it's like they were just selling the electronics blocks separate, so you could buy spares in case, you know, that way the stress doesn't come from the process. The stress comes from the idea that I only have one chance to do this, that, and if I screw up the electronics, if I don't know how to solder things, I'm dead meat.
That's zero tolerance for errors gets real scary on things.
Yeah, and if I could just buy another set of the electronics for 10 or 15 bucks, you know, get like a set of the head electronics, a set of the forearm stuff, and just in a little block I could shove in there, I would be way less stressed out about it. Anyway, Quake Wave with all his lights on is pretty badass. Quake Wave with the light on in gun mode is pretty badass. Quake Wave is a badass toy. And I'm glad I got the batteries in, and I'm glad that I have a stupid video up of me putting the batteries in so people can see how fun that was. So today I went to Toys R Us and Transformers were 30% off. And so I decided that this is the time. So I got my Cyberverse Commander, Bulkhead, and Predaking, because they're the only Cyberverse toys I was missing aside from Bumblebee of the ones that were available. And I still don't know if I really want to get the Bumblebee. But Bulkhead is, I mean, he's the prime Cyberverse Bulkhead with just a whole lot of new parts. So the skeleton of the toy is, it's the same pretty good little Cyberverse Bulkhead that was the original. The new parts are all pretty cool. The Viking helmet is great. We all knew this. The color placement's all right. In vehicle mode, I find the color placement a little bit weird, because it's just like it's a block of orange on the front, a block of orange on the back, a block of brown along the bottom, and then a green roof. It feels really patchy. Almost to the point where, even though the Roadbuster homage is there, I almost wonder if this would have looked better with no green whatsoever on the outside of the vehicle mode. But the only problem I have with him is that he's got this really cool axe weapon, but it's also a pressure missile. And the missile is the handle. So that means when he's holding the handle, the axe head is just freely spinning around because there's no locking point. So whenever he raises the axe, the blade spins down and points at his own head. So that's kind of a bummer. I don't know if I'm going to glue it together or anything, but that was a bit of a design oversight. Cyberverse Predaking is surprisingly cool. His dragon mode looks a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for here? It looks kind of bird-like. It looks like a chicken and a duck, but a dragon. But his transformation's really cool, especially when you figure out how to split the dragon head and use it to bolster the way the wings look. And the robot mode is great, and I dare say the robot mode looks better than the Voyager. At least in terms of its silhouette. I really like this Predaking, and one of the reasons why I want to get him is that it looks like a lot of unique Predacons due to Abominus are going to be happening in the Cyberverse scale, and I want to have a Predaking who can stand with that Abominus. So I really like him. His dragon mode just kind of looks paltry, is the word I was looking for. It's like a paltry dragon. But the transformation...
Paltry or poultry?
Poultry, like P-O-U.
Like chicken bok bok?
Yeah, it's like okay. It's like a poultry dragon is the best way. It's got a really fat duck-like chest.
Okay.
And all of its legs are kind of low to the ground to the point where it kind of looks like the rear ones aren't even there. Like, that's just its tail.
I just wanted to be sure because
yeah.
Two different words, two drastically different things.
Oh, no. Yeah, I understand. No, I certainly do not mean paltry. He still looks like he could wreck your nuts. He just doesn't look very mobile. But it's a pretty good toy, and it's a fairly poseable robot mode for Cyberverse. You know, he's got ball-jointed shoulders and hips. He's got knees and elbows and a neck joint. He's got the basics. I like it. Beast Hunter's Cyberverse is a marked improvement over Prime Cyberverse, which was already pretty okay. Beast Hunter's original stuff is like another step up, and I think it's going very overlooked by a lot of collectors. Granted, because a lot of people have chosen to just skip Cyberverse, and that's not a bad decision. Saves you a lot of pocket money, but I just want it to be known that Beast Hunter's Cyberverse is a marked improvement, and I want to give a pat in the back to whoever's putting these particular figures together, because they're doing a really good job on stuff that's really easy to just forget about. And that's actually all that I got this week. Other than, hang on, let's take a look. Do I have another cube yet? We've been at this for an hour. The worst part about this game is the NG Moco thing on the front, because it has a smiley face. So the game is smiling at me, and I'm like, you clever minx, don't you even start smirking. I know what you're up to. Ah! I have a boss defeated. RC level 5. I got 6 silvers and some points. Good stuff.
Let's see where I'm sitting here. And I'm good, and I have mine muted.
No, I turned it on because I want to cause relapse for anyone out there who's laid their hands on this.
Who's kicked it?
Yeah, anyone who's gotten away from this stupid application, I can't. So I'm going to make it hard for all of you, because my problem is your problem now.
Ooh, I got a level 1, RC.
You might be able to take
up
her.
To 20,976 points.
Hang on, I'm going to scan to explore the damaged village. So I always get a billion boss drops when I don't want them.
Yeah.
And it's a level 4 RC. This is under 1,000 points. At the point I'm at now, because I still have to team up for this one. I only want to team up when I'm going to get 4 digits. Nope. All right, anyway. I'm disappointed. Let us move on to our off-topic, what we got this week. Aaron, what did you get that wasn't Transformers?
I got a crockpot.
I want a crockpot. Me and Kryn made a good cooker. We made this amazing Chipotle chicken crockpot, and I want to...
I did the classic pot roast. Well, actually, I bought all the pot roast stuff because I was sure that I had a crockpot. However, it disappeared about the same time that the roommates moved out. Not saying anything, but...
Saying anything, except that they might have stolen it.
But for $20 on Amazon to be here the next day, and it was actually 2 days, but I'm not going to complain too much with free shipping.
You should have flipped out.
Yeah. Well, actually, when I had my flip-out moment was... So I'm sitting there in the living room... because, I mean, what else I got to do? I'm an employee. Oh, God. Anyway, and then I just hear this thud, bam. And I have a steel-clad front door, so I have a couple of magnets on it that I'll put, like, the bills that I need to put out in the mail. I'll put on that and put it on the door so that I'll remember it in the mornings. One of those falls off and explodes, and the clip thing totally busted. Dogs are freaking out. Because it sounds like somebody just hit the side of a house with a sledgehammer. I get up like, what the fuck was that? Go open the door. Amazon, good-sized Amazon box with a corner of it just crushed in. And the UPS guy is back at the truck. And he gives me that friendly, oh, hey, wave. Not that whoops wave. and takes off down the street. So I pull it in, and I'm open it up, and the corner of the crock pot like box on the inside is all crushed up. I'm like, if this thing is,
did he throw a crock pot at your door?
He must have lofted it or done something, because I mean it's a crock pot. It's stoneware. It's got oomph to it. But the corner of the box,
that's heavy, isn't it?
As
much as that's the stupidest thing that a postal delivery person could ever do, it's kind of impressive, because that's like shot pudding.
Yeah. Why not just walk it up and set it and or knock on the door? But
like
apparently,
it's more effort to throw it.
Yeah. 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 Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So
what a dummy. Anyway,
I was like, mother. And so I open it up, and like the corner of the box and the styrofoam on the corner as I'm pulling it out, because it's the side I'm opening it from, is all smashed in. But the actual equipment was fine. They build it to take some rough play. But I was just like, mother, how? Why?
Yeah.
Why would you? That's more effort. That's like you'd taken two more steps. And it would have been on the porch with no hassle, no giant thud, no dogs going nuts, no little stupid... It was some dog medication thing.
He'd have to have thrown it up a staircase, right?
Yeah, it's up like three steps.
Yeah, I mean, that's like carrying a bowling ball and deciding instead of going up the stairs on the last leg of the journey, no, I'm going to try to throw it from here.
The nearest thing I can figure is he may have had it at chest level and just gave it the like forward push to get it to the door.
That's still really stupid. If he's gone as far as carrying it from his truck.
Yeah, I am not defending the MF-er by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, I'm also just wanting to say it again, because the sentence is ludicrous. The UPS man threw a crock pot at your door.
Yes. So then actually yesterday, then I did up the pot roast, and it was good. However, like most pot roasts, you take what's left over, you put it in the fridge, and you let it do its magic. I had it for lunch and dinner today, and no two strands of muscle were able to stay together. Everything, all of the connective tissue is just broken down and just rah.
It's that lovely, it's not mush, but there's no other word to describe it, and it's beautiful kind of thing?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All of the flavor was all there, and everything was great. Was good.
I love that. You know what I like doing with that stuff, oddly enough? As an experiment, I like to set some aside and then fry it with some vegetables.
Ooh.
Because then you get the fried crust with the soft stuff on the inside. Mm-hmm. And like pork crust is really nice. So it's like you have these fried crusty pork bits attached to this beautiful pork mush. And it's got all the... I used to refry stuff all the time just as experiments, so I admit I have a bit of a taste for it, but I love refried leftovers, like properly pan-fried refried leftovers.
But yeah, that was...
I'm hungry.
The only other thing is dog pancreatitis, and that was like $900.
Oh, you got one of those!
Yeah, so...
Did the Amazon guy throw that at the door too?
So the Thursday that we recorded the podcast last time, Andy Rue did great with all of his numbers, or I guess we recorded on Friday. The day before, he'd done great on all of his numbers. And then, Saturday morning, he was super slow and didn't want to do anything, oozed himself down the stairs, made breakfast, and he didn't even sniff at it. Like, put some wet food in there. Didn't sniff at it. Took a piece of bacon out of the pan, put it in there. Didn't even sniff at it. All right, let's get this dog to a hospital.
Yeah, that the tweets you were doing had me scared.
Yeah. And I was scared out of my gourd, because I got the ER vet, and the ER vet's like, "Yep, pancreatitis. We'll hold on to him for a couple days and see how it goes." Okay. And so then I go and I look up pancreatitis online, because the ER vet's not given me any information. And have you ever looked up a medical malady on like WebMD?
No, I hate doing that, because all that happens is I see you're all going to die horribly.
Yes,
whenever
that's,
I do that.
That's exactly what I read. And I got super nervous, and I knew that going in was going to be expensive, because it's the only option on weekends here is an emergency vet. So, like, a third of my total cost of everything was weekend charge, emergency charge, which there's a part of me that thinks that, like, look, this is bold just because a dog got sick on a weekend and I couldn't schedule it, that you're going to stiff me for like $250 or $300 and weekend lab fee of $5, but three times because you ran three different panels on the same blood draw. But anyway, so I was really starting to freak out over this, and Twitter user Necrotic Doctor, who he's a veterinary pathologist, I want to say. I'm blanking right at the exact moment. But he's a vet dude that then was like, look, dude, give me your phone number. And so I'm like, oh, no, I can text. And so I give him my phone number, and he calls me, and we had a 45-minute discussion of him talking me down from thinking I might have to, like, just not do treatment or give up. And he put it very well of that we're in, like, the last 5 miles of the marathon. It's where you got to dig deep and get through it all and fight along with him. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, dude, for talking me down off of a horrible cliff that I was looking at. And it took, so he was at the vet until Monday, got him back, and it wasn't until about the Wednesday after that. So he was down and feeling bad for like 3-4 days and pain meds and everything. And now he's his own little jerk until we had a chemo session yesterday and everything seemed fine, like normal. And then before we went to bed, he just like got up from where he was laying, walked in the middle of the room, looked at me and went, huh, huh, huh. Well, that looks yummy. And cleaned all that up. And I thought, you know what? I should probably leave him in the kitchen where it's all tile just because that'll be easier to clean. And then completely forgot about it. At some point in the middle of the night, he managed to get the door open to the bedroom, which isn't a terrible big surprise, and then threw up in like 9 different places downstairs.
Lovely.
And the great thing is since this is chemotherapy, I'm supposed to treat any bodily wastes as hazardous because it is.
Yeah.
So it was blue gloves and double bagging everything and, oh, that sponge that you use to help clean up gets pitched. However, I have rediscovered the normal color of my carpet downstairs.
Hey!
Which, it looks like it's stained, but it's not. It's everything else has just got the natural dirt to it, so I also am going to have a steam vac in my future, probably.
Just don't tell them about the radioactive side and you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, it's not radioactive. It doesn't work like it does in comic books.
Well, it should.
So you're not going to develop, like, superhuman puke powers?
No. No.
Aaron becomes Dog Man.
Yeah. But then that'd mean that I'd be Andy's sidekick, and I don't know about that.
Well, you know, maybe. Be a very interesting podcast after that had happened.
Yeah.
Andy's just coming on every now and then. It's going like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention the wind guard on the microphone is going to have to be a lot stronger.
But no, we're doing well. I'm gonna have to dig up another round of stuff for sales, though. But that's life.
Yeah.
It's just stuff over my Thunder Buddy. So
high fives.
But no, that's it for me. No Legoing, because tomorrow is potentially the big Lego day.
Oh dear.
Well, what is tomorrow?
Saturday.
Well, what's the date?
4th
of,
oh yeah,
yeah,
that pun.
Yeah, Lego is going to be having some pretty crazy deals on their Star Wars stuff, along with a special minifigure.
Oh,
if you
that
buy
one. Okay, I was like, where the hell does Lego come in to?
So yeah, the B-wings are going to be half off. And if you buy more than, like, $60 or $75 in store, you get a special Han Solo and Hoth gear that I'm thinking about. I've been trying to get a hold of my brother, who's not replied, and see if he wants to do a Lego store run, because it's been a little bit since I've done that with him.
So all I've seen out of this, of everyone planning their half-off B-Wings, is Noise Maze just looking to all of you on Twitter with the Twitter eyes of, like, he's going to kill you guys, but we don't know when.
You know, sitting there saying, oh, money, and then saying, oh, cheap, expensive Lego. Yeah, I probably am not going to go and do it, but it's something that I'd like to go and see it, if nothing else. I think Toys R Us is also doing some Lego build thing for May the 4th. I may go and do that one because that's in town and it's just like, hey, come build something over. Hey, come buy a bunch of stuff to get something.
So I went by the Lego store in the upstate and they had a thing Star Wars related a couple weeks ago where everyone was outside and there was a big Lego Yoda and they were all having people sit at desks and do stuff and I didn't know what it was. Like what if they're doing an event outside of their shop, what are they usually doing?
I don't know. They've done at the Lego shop here, the couple of things I know that they've done. One was a Lego in the US anniversary thing where they had built the outline of the US in panels. And it was pretty big. It was like a central mall area. And then they had just bins and bins and bins of brick. And they were having kids build on tiles to go on the inside of it so that then it would fill up the U.S. with all these unique buildings and things and whatever. And then another time they had, it was for the Turtles tie-in, they had opened, I guess they'd opened a bunch of the Shellraiser sets and they were letting kids either build out the Shellraiser and play with it there but not get to take anything home, or build their own crazy creations out of it.
Okay.
So it could have been something Star Wars related. It could have just been them trying to do something to bring people in. Who knows?
The mystery will never be solved. Well, let's move on then. Omegas, what did you do that was not Transformers but still attained this week?
Well, something akin to Transformers, I guess. A Ross, your general department liquidation type store. And browsing through every little bit of Transformers they had, through all of the leftover first series bot shots and whatnot. Stuff, you know, just the stuff you always pass over. I came across one of those Mars convertibles. The kind of like rip-off-y things you see beside Transformers at Walmart or something. So for like $10 for something that's like bigger than an alternator and more classic style transformation, I figured, well, let's try this out. Let's just see how much I am getting ripped off by Hasbro. So I get this thing open and okay, what a piece of crap. Absolutely everything on this is loose. All the ball joints pop off the second you pull on them. The shoulders don't hold up. Knees don't straighten out. And just boring. It's just this big generic personality-less robot that just has this very Legion-class transformation.
That's what you get for going to Ross.
I wasn't there intentionally.
So, like, it suddenly became a Ross while you were in the store?
It might as well have been. This is when you go shopping with a female driving the car.
I've done that, and we have driven past Ross.
Obviously, we were driving with a different female then.
Ross.
I hope so, anyway.
You do know that no means no, right?
Ross. Ross.
Look, I've actually gotten some good Transformer deals in there before, okay?
It's just the man.
Why are you complaining about going in there?
The name of the store
I never complained about going in there.
It sounds like a cuss word from another planet. Oh, Ross!
It's a name, too, you know.
I know, I used to know a guy called Ross. I don't know him anymore.
And he was like a cuss word from another planet.
For some reason, he took offense to all the times that I used his name as a cuss word, and he... Ross!
I was actually kind of upset because this is actually probably the best looking of the bunch, because the robot's got all this, like, silver paint on it with this bright orange accents, and it's the kind where you're, there's so much paint on it for the price, I'm kind of scared to even touch it for too long.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure it breaks some lead standards here and there. I'm so disappointed that I got this one, because on the back of the box, on the cross sale, the others are so hysterically bad. Like, if you haven't seen the lineup, Google it, because there's just some horrendous knockoff-y Transformer going on. You know, I just got the unfortunate, like, the only one they had was the one that was just okay. Like, you get cement mixers where it's just the arms are just, like, half of the cement drum. And ugh. You get, God, look it up sometime. Google image it, because there's a bulldozer. It's just, like, his like, GoBot levels of just weird.
I like that kind of bluntness, though, of, like, cement mixer robot. All right, cut the cement mixer in half and put a body in between it. He's done. Like, there's something about that bluntness that I'd want to see rendered in, like, high-quality IDW-style art.
you never know. It might be, one of those background corpses they need.
Yeah. I don't know. Not corpse. We gotta stop this kill-the-Gobots thing. You know, we gotta...
Yeah, they're... Just kill the Microns or Minicons.
Yeah. take that Blackout was the worst, because he kept getting lost in that one episode of Armada. Just have him be the dead body in the background.
It doesn't matter. They're all Sure Shock at some point.
That's right.
Sure Shock and Leader One, only two names they have. Moving on to something that isn't knockoff and is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My D-Arts Charizard came in.
Bad Digimon knockoff.
Totally.
Oh, let's not start that.
No, I have no stake in either fandom, so let's start that. Let's.
Jeez.
How did it turn out? Because I'm only in for the Mewtwo, and I was curious how the more monstrous-looking ones were going to end up.
He's kind of a mixed bag. There's some things he does better than Mewtwo, and some things he kind of does worse. Because, like, the way they jointed the tail, completely different. So it doesn't have as much range of motion to it, but I wouldn't...
That's really weird, because Mewtwo's tail was one of the best parts, I thought, of that.
Well, see, on a Charizard, I don't quite expect that much range of movement. You know, because he's not Mewtwo. It's known for, like, two or three curves in his tail at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's just a big stiff tail that manages to move around here and there. What really got me were the legs, where really the only articulation is just up and down hips. Like, he has knees. They're very limited.
Well, I figured he was going to hit the Monster Arts from his shape. I figured he was going to hit the Monster Arts kind of walls.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it looked like more the Monster Arts style, where they kind of put emphasis on the form and look rather than the function.
Yeah.
So they kept those big round legs that he has rather than engineering in big joints to allow, big range of leg movement.
Yeah.
But, those are the limitations he has. The arms work really nice. Hands look much better because the fingers aren't jointed this time. Neck articulates well. Jaw articulates. The tongue articulates too, which I like.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the wings I could use a little bit more motion on, but, they work for the most part. So, he gets a lot of nice poses out of him. He gets all the signature poses.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a good flight pose out of him too. And something that I really like, all the fire elements he comes with, both the flame on the tip of his tail, as well as the fire breath he comes with. This is really nice effect where it's all cast in translucent yellow, and then with like a red pearl over top.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like just, it's this nice mix between looking like a flame from the cartoon, but still that translucent crystal effect to make it look real.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a weird mix of styles, but it looks really nice. So he's actually, I'd say about where I expected. I mean, he's got some nice range of movement where it counts, and Yeah, you know, I'm not expecting him to do high kicks, you know?
Well, so I was.
I know. I guess where the articulation's a little stiff, I really didn't expect it to be that articulated to begin with. Mm-hmm. It does make me really curious how Blastoise is going to come out.
Well, that's why, you know, I don't have any interest in buying them, but the idea of articulating them and by the same group, like, largely speaking, who worked on Monster Arts, like Charizard and Blastoise and Venusaur, I want to know how they work. Because it seems like the engineering side of them interests me regardless.
Well, so far they're still turning out to be neat toys. Like, I feel bad because you're probably only going to get the major players. If you've got an obscure favorite like me, you're never seeing it. But what they are putting out's been good so far.
Yeah, where's my 30 points of articulation Togepi? That's what I want to know. I know what a Togepi is.
See, you should have said Voltorb.
Is that where you have a sheet wrapped around yourself and you've drank too much?
Oh. I'm not one to say.
Really?
It. Sorry.
I love having a nice... Well, no, it's good because that way it can catch all the overspray and it doesn't get on, you know, all the floor and stuff. And,
oh, yeah, that's gross.
You just throw the toga in the fireplace after you're done.
I like your style, sir.
I'm smooth.
People are disgusting. It's just a sentient egg. Do you have to mock it?
Yes.
Yep. I got no patience for none of them Digimons.
Yeah, you know, that's it. I'm done with you guys. I'm done.
All right. I guess that closes out what we got this week. So that closes out episode 250 of WTF and TFW, entering us into a whole new era of, oh my god, why have we been doing this so long? Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron, Omegas, thank you for coming by. That Bye-bye. Google voice box in mail, I almost said, and I'm just going to go through with saying it. The Google voice box in mail that we have is area code 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318 and 775 and 9 and 3 and 0. With an 8 in there between the 9 and the 3. We'll talk to you guys later. Ciao.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.